This is PFW in progress.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
Can you take us out on the field?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
You got your head so far up your ass about that damn football team. You don't get the fact. You just got 1 year top quality education. Don't be wasting my time.
Paul Perillo.
Do you see that guy over there? Could you maybe wave at him a little bit? Just kind of humor him. Please.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm sick of being all-time center.
You're sick of what?
Andy Hart.
I'm sick of being all-time center.
Rudy, I told you 5 times. You can't play anything else but all-time center. You're too small.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing. 100 and nothing. And you got hardly a speck of athletic ability.
FNG, Mike Parenti.
You're nuts.
Yeah, a lot of people have been telling me that lately.
Well, you've got to be nuts. You want to work for nothing.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around. This is your game now, gentlemen. Let's get them.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. I panicked there for a second. I didn't know my microphone was on. So I was reading this advertising opportunity. Did you see that email? We'll talk about that later. Anyway, welcome to PFW in progress. This is Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Mike Parenti. Paul Perillo's here. Eric is still...
I think he's writing.
He's writing still?
I don't know.
This better be one hell of an article. This is the second day he's missed.
Well, you already took his cover from him.
Did he make up his homework from yesterday?
No.
No?
No.
Wow. Gary's in the booth.
You opened Tuesday's show by saying how great it was not to have him.
Well, that's true. No, but I'm only kidding about that. We need Eric.
Why?
Know? We do.
Well, who else do we have to make fun of?
I'm always here.
Well, that's true.
The guy from Qdoba's here. He's sitting in Eric's seat.
Yeah, we're going
to make fun of him.
We're going to talk to Matt Weiss in a second because Matt has brought a buffet to end all taco buffets.
And my digestive
this,
system.
This was even better than the one I had in the men's club.
Better than Fred's Taco Fiesta.
Well, I got to eat this one, so that was
oh, okay. Oh, all on. Right.
But
no. Here ends the Qdoba day, I guess.
So this is the Qdoba question of the weekday. Every Thursday we're going to do this from now on. And the way this works is we're going to pose a question of something that happened on Wednesday or Tuesday. And the first caller who answers the question will win. Now, Gary.
Yes, Fred.
We're not going to put the question out there until someone calls, right?
Right. When someone calls, we're going to ask them live on the air what the question is.
So are we going to have a different question for every caller?
No.
We should. Because now...
No, it's kind
of... We had a tough enough time coming up with one.
No,
the point
listen,
is, until somebody gets it right, you keep asking.
Right.
No,
it's kind of a gag.
But here's my point. No one knows what the question is yet, right? So the first person will call in, we ask them the question. They get it wrong. Now everyone else can go to PFW in progress and listen to the archives and figure out the question. If we change up the question for every caller,
that's how it's done. Have you ever?
If they do that, they deserve it.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Somebody goes through those.
And it's funny. That's real
radio
stations do it. Regis and Kathy Lee do it.
What you mean? We're not a real radio station.
No, we're
Kathy Lee hasn't been on Regis for years.
Ah, whatever she is.
But Regis and Kelly.
The point is that we're celebrating Qdoba here.
How can you forget Kelly Reba?
Kelly Reba. Oh. Qdoba is opening up at Patriot Place October 15th. However, they're all over Massachusetts as we speak. And the winner of this thing will win a taco buffet. And is it taco and burrito buffet? Is that what you call it,
Matt? We
call
it a taco bar, hot nacho bar. We can do all the above. There's several options. So
you
basically make it to order for them.
It's a buffet for 20 people. And you can pick it up at any participating...
Or three Pauls.
Right.
Right. I told you. See? Eric, you don't need Eric.
So Matt's even... He doesn't even know Paul. He's laughing. Matt's in... You're in very good shape, Matt. Do you not eat a lot? Or how do you
I eat Qdoba four days a week, like I said.
Is that right?
There you go.
It's just very healthy stuff.
Yeah, you know, you get... The menu is basically you can order something off the menu or you can make it the way you want it. So you can get, you know, no tortilla and none of the carbs or you can get all the above, which I do several times a week as well.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, because you're very slim. And...
You're going to ask him out later?
not in a...
He's worse than Andy's crush on Mike Reese.
Anyway, so this thing is here. We just finished eating, and it was absolutely
And now look
delicious.
Who's here.
Who's here?
Here
Chris?
Come the stragglers.
Patriots Today crew.
Everybody's here now to eat. Okay. That's great. But the food was phenomenal. I had two tacos myself. They had chicken, beef. They had all kinds of stuff. And then you have this special sauce that you guys make.
Yeah.
It's like a cheesy type of sauce?
Our signature queso sauce, which the recipe's a secret, but... It definitely, it's better than chocolate, I'm told, by most women.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
It is very good.
So it's
good.
An aphrodisiac.
And you have a lot of women coming up to you asking you that, you know, what's the recipe
you know,
for your queso sauce?
I sneak a few bags in my freezer every now and then. But, yeah, our queso is our signature product, and it goes a long way.
So when you, you know, bring – are you married?
I'm not.
Okay, so when you bring women over, you know, you take out the bag from, you know, hey, you want some queso?
Right after the champagne, the queso
cool.
comes out.
The date rape drug? What is this?
All right.
He's stealing food. He's going to fit right in. You can stay there all day.
All right. So, in all seriousness, Qdoba, October 15th at Patriot Place, all over Massachusetts as we speak. The winner of this prize every week will be able to get this 20-person buffet, pick it up at any participating Qdoba in Massachusetts. And let me tell you something. It took 2 seconds to set up, right? It all comes ready to go. All you do is you throw the sterno underneath, you light it up, comes on stands. The sauces are all in the individual cups. So it's very easy to go. And Andy, you love the nachos.
The tortilla chip, yeah, the nachos are, even just plain, are the best I've ever had.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
He said they make them fresh.
Wow.
Fresh every day, yeah. Someone's in there cutting the tortillas and then frying them up.
Is that right?
They're crispy,
wow.
And they got a little salt and a little something else on them. I don't know.
A little
know
lime juice.
Yeah, a little lime juice, a little secret sauce.
You can tell they don't come
tremendous.
From a bag.
Yeah.
The supermarket.
Compare those to
difference.
A bag of, and yeah. No race.
And I mean, you know, everyone.
Randy Moss versus Ray Ventrone in that
case. Everyone comes to the tailgate and they have the burgers and the traditional. This is a great mix-up.
Right.
I mean, you can have your burger, but then you set this up on a table.
Plus,
and,
if you're lazy
you're
like me.
Yeah.
You don't have to go through all the, take them a roll of the grill and all this crap, just bring that out.
So is
yeah, exactly.
The beef and the chicken that's pre-cooked and you're just heating it up with the sterno?
Yeah, it's cooked in the restaurant right before it heads out. So and
good
then,
lean
know.
Beef, too. Sometimes
yeah.
you get the, like a
exactly.
Beef in like a tortilla or something and they put crappy beef in there.
Yeah.
That's good beef out
no,
there because
no.
I'm finicky.
Yeah, well, we're finicky, too, and we definitely want, you know, the best product out there. But, yeah, it's all made fresh right before it heads out the door, so when it's ready to reheat.
And then to top it all off, you make your own cookies.
Yeah, there you go.
Holy mackerel.
Which are strangely good.
And they weren't Mexican cookies. They were just regular chocolate chip cookies.
I don't know what a Mexican cookie is.
What do you mean strangely good?
Well, you know, I kind of expected them to be a downer because yeah. you think Mexican. It'd probably be an okay
You figured
cookie.
They would half-ass the cookie because
right.
it's a Mexican
yeah.
restaurant.
It was a good
you
cookie.
Guys did not half-ass the cookie.
It is always a surprise.
Came out warm.
We get a lot of comments. People don't yeah. expect the cookies and the brownies, so it is a wow factor for us.
There were brownies out there?
Oh, we just lost Paul.
We picked it up. Next week.
All right. So, Matt, we want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Stopping
happy
it.
To be a part
and,
of it.
And anything you want to tell us in specific about this Qdoba that's going to be opening up at Patriot Place?
Well, prior to Patriot Place, we're opening up in Kenmore Square in a few days as well. So hopefully take some of the momentum of the Red Sox and then follow that up with you know, a few victories by the Pats and open up down here mid-October right before the Monday night Bronco game.
Okay.
Matt's a big Bronco fan. You know. He'll
Is
be
he, are you
game.
Really?
I
Just
will
like
be
Fred, kind of like
yeah.
you. You're a big Broncos fan.
Well, I was. I'm off the Broncos now.
But I live in Massachusetts.
Now you're
a big
Patriot
Bronco fan. I'm not a Patriot fan, but I like to see them succeed, except when they're playing the Broncos.
Except that game, right?
Yep.
Okay. Don't sell your soul.
Well, you know, Michael here is a Giants fan.
Big Giants
so, you know,
fan, Yankees fan.
We still yeah. let him work here.
And I still right. have an employment. So
but
it works out
I
well.
Predict, Matt. By the end of the season, you're going to be a Patriots fan. Not that you won't like the Broncos anymore, but you're going to really, really be into the Patriots.
I'll cater your Super Bowl party if that happens.
Okay. Right.
Maybe anyway, but.
Okay, maybe anyway.
But all it's right. great to be a part of this. And
thank
we're
you.
Big fans of the show.
Thank you
so.
Very much.
We're a big
thank
fan
you.
Of food.
All right.
And
Qdoba.
And Qdoba. It's good stuff.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Matt. Thanks. Matt Weiss from Qdoba. Qdoba question of the week. That's today, every Thursday from now until the end of the season. And the first caller at 508-543-7482, Gary will pose a question to them, or I'll do it, once they figure out the what
how
the question is.
And,
well, I got to tap on the show. Matt said goodbye on the way out.
You're out. Distracted very easily.
Yeah.
All right. So so we're going to do that. When are we going to do the question? As soon as somebody calls in?
Call now.
Just call now. 508-543-7482. That's 508-543-7482.
Operators are standing by. Or
the email address, and you can't email in. It's only a call-in thing. But the email for those who want to participate is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. All right, now that we have all that taken care of, big news of the day. Who wants to be the one?
I think you should handle it since you don't think the guy has anything left.
Oh, will you be quiet?
Diminished
enough.
Skills, not
enough.
A Hall of Famer.
The most emotional press conference I've ever been to.
Nice, is that right?
A very nice
Troy Brown
yep.
was here, announced his retirement. I thought everybody who took part did a very good job. I thought Bill was great. I thought Mr. Kraft was great. But more importantly, and kind of stole the show emotionally, was Troy's wife and two sons were in the front row, and Sermon and
Sanjay,
and Sermon was the emotional one.
I think so.
As soon as it began, was in tears,
bawling his eyes out,
kind of burying his head in his mom's shoulder, and then closed it out emotionally with the final question of the press conference, which I'm surprised Troy held it together that long.
I don't know how he did it, and he answered that kind of stoically.
And he answered it like a leader and a father. He didn't just throw it in that. He was clearly sending a message to his son beyond just the answer to that question. Fred, his son, closed it out by saying, if you love football so much, then why are you retiring? Mm. And that's a tough question from the kid who's bawling his eyes out in the front row, and he's your son.
Yeah.
But overall, the media relations department I would give props to. They had Troy Brown photos throughout the media workroom. There was on the big display, I think Dan was part of it. They had photos from throughout his career, even going back to when he wore 86
Number
early
86,
in his career. And
yeah.
It was funny, his wife turned to one of the sons and goes, do you remember? Oh, you weren't born.
You weren't even born.
But I thought everybody did a great job. And November 13th, the Thursday night game against the Jets, will be Troy Brown Day here at Gillette Stadium. And they will celebrate his 15-year career with the Patriots.
Cool.
It was done.
I need more cumin.
Incredibly well. Give a pat on the back to everybody involved in this ceremony. I just think I have to rethink my whole line about the movie, Fred, that you guys are talking about, the Hall of Fame, that made people cry. It was an emotional press conference today. I have to rethink my whole stance on that.
Okay.
I'll tell you, it must have really been good for Andy to credit the PR department for one.
They I thought they did a great job.
I thought that all the, just what Andy said, all the photos, all the
everything.
Still shots.
They went the whole way.
And,
even little things, like Bill showed up in jeans and a shirt, which... to me, and this might have been just an accident, maybe he was just getting whatever.
It's like he wasn't just coming from practice.
Right,
yeah.
He came up, and it came off as a guy, and he said it was an honor to coach him and all that, but he came off as a guy just remembering a guy he had a lot of respect for, rather than the coach saying what he had to say because he's the coach. If he had been there in the hoodie, I feel like it would have not felt the same way, and he gave Troy three photos as mementos from some of his great plays. He had the punt return. Against the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
He had Troy one-on-one with Donald Driver, which was a cool photo, 80 on 80.
That was a great photo.
And he talked about how Driver at that point was, I believe, leading the NFL in pass receiving yards. And Troy goes out there and holds him to one catch and how much that epitomizes what Troy Brown was. And the other photo was the Miami, the big play in Miami, the 82-yard touchdown in overtime. And Bill infused a lot in there of what he does in general, but how people doubted him and, you know, that Miami play. Everybody said Troy Brown couldn't go deep. Everybody said Patriots can't win early in the year in Miami, and how much these plays meant to the team and to Troy and to the coach and
right.
Gave those to – it was impressive. I will remember that for a long time.
And I thought the way that Bill –
sorry, I missed it.
The way that Bill spoke –
me too.
And the way he – you know, like Andy, the way Andy described it as it was more than just the coach getting up there and saying what he quote unquote had to say. The way he spoke showed you that it meant more than that to him. And some of the examples that he brought up about remembering Troy were obvious ones, but some others weren't so obvious. And, you know, like the Donald Driver one-on-one thing, he really went into great detail as to how that all came about. And the guys that were missing that week, Eugene Wilson, Rodney Harrison, Asante Samuel, were all out of the lineup. And here's a guy that was leading the NFC at the time in receptions. And they said, we're going to put Troy on him. And he talked about how the looks that he got in the locker room, even from teammates, you know, you sure this is the right thing to do? And he went out and held him to one catch for 3 yards. And I just thought that the way, the detail in which Bill spoke showed me that he gave this some thought, and it meant a lot to him. Now, I was very impressed with the entire production and specifically the way that Mr. Kraft and Bill spoke about Troy and the reverence, I think, that was somewhat evident in the way they spoke.
But also a lot of honesty involved.
Yeah.
Troy kind of referenced a number of times he'd like to come back, but they clearly, you know, they've moved on. You can't outrun Father Time and God. But also that, you know, he had the offer to go to New York this year, but the color wasn't right.
Didn't feel right.
Didn't want to wear green and white again, which obviously were his colors at Marshall. Will be red, white, and blue forever. Even talking so much as to what we've heard in the past, but referencing how Robert Kraft fought for him to keep him here when he could go elsewhere and maybe sort of coercing Bill Belichick into bringing him back when maybe Bill wasn't 100% on board with that. So there was a lot of emotional and a lot of truth, and just it was sort of all laid out there, and I just thought it was a great presentation.
Cool.
And I think he's probably going to get into the Patriots Hall of Fame, right?
I think so.
Possibly.
Was there any talk about what he's doing now? What he's going to do?
He'll be involved. He'll be around. He said. Sounds like he's going to do some media stuff. I know he's already had some dealings with Comcast. He's going to be around here. He said some business ventures, some charitable. He's going to be around, and he also left the door open for coaching down the road. Maybe after his kids are a little older, he wants to be in their lives right now. I think they're like 8 and 10 or something in that range.
Yeah, they couldn't have been much older than
Down the road, he did sort of leave a little bit of
the way
of the door ajar.
You know, when they're old enough to maybe get on their bikes and ride to come see him, maybe that'll be a time that he could practice. He could coach and be at practice, and his kids would be able to see him. But right now, they're not old enough to do that, and he wants to be more of a part of their lives.
Now, the entire press conference will be available on Patriots Playbook in the 2 to 4 hour. You'll be able to listen to the entire thing. So
you'll laugh. You'll cry.
Okay.
And,
you will.
You know, we had some, you know, in the locker room, some of the teammates spoke about Troy and Rodney Harrison, Matt Light, Kevin Falk. You know, others didn't want to for whatever reason. But just I think the respect that you hear from the different guys, you know, Kevin Falk talking about, I talked to him a little bit yesterday, and it wasn't anything profound or, you know, anything specific, but just you could tell the respect that Troy Brown had for all of those guys in there. I don't think everybody.
How can you
I don't
not
think
like
everybody
Troy
leaves
Brown.
With that. Yeah.
I mean, Troy Brown's been here
point,
since
Fred.
1993.
Yeah.
You don't
Has
want
anyone
to, you know,
ever had
off.
Anything bad to say about Troy Brown?
No,
has
no,
Troy
no,
Brown done
free.
Anything to, you know, Charges embarrass fans. Himself or the team? Or he's just been the consummate Patriot.
Did you see when Troy was talking about how he tried to play, and he said that Bill always wanted a smart, tough football team. And I looked at Bill, and Bill was looking at Troy, and he was nodding his head, and he had a smile on his face. It was almost like
the horse poop.
That
and he said horse poop, which made Andy laugh.
He said horse poop, and Andy made Gary find that clip. But the look on Bill's face was like, that's what he gets it. You know,
right.
The old Parcells thing. He gets it. And that's why, and I think that was like a proud moment for Bill to hear Troy say, the message. That's Bill's message in a nutshell. I want a smart, tough football team. That's
right.
What he wanted, and that's what Troy said. That's how I tried to play.
Rob from Stuttgart, Germany, soon to be West Point, New York, says it's hard to see Troy Brown retire. He was one of those players that was just great to have on the team. I'm wondering if Brady was still healthy, if he would have made this choice. I emailed you guys about me buying lunch earlier this week, but I guess it wasn't read. My office still stands. Hopefully, two gender won't screw up.
Don't hold your breath on that one.
There's about 100 people outside.
Yeah.
Did he ask if it were
I think that's
his choice, as if Brady were healthy, he'd still be able to play?
He wasn't asked that, but I think that's an
interesting
point.
That's what the email asked, I said.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking if Troy was asked.
But you said if I was all right.
I thought you said you were okay, Spider.
Well, I liked how he
never gets
it
old.
When he said he watches games and he goes, I can still make that catch, and then he goes out and jogs and his knee hurts and his hip hurts and he's a little
so
older.
So in other words, today he was kind of suggesting that he would have liked to have come back this year.
I think there's no doubt that
if they asked
he
asked
still thinks he could play.
He would have done it. I think he still would.
I think if they asked him right now,
the
second.
If November 13th on that night they needed somebody at halftime, I think he would sign.
Well, I'm sure you would think he's better than Maurice Price. I know you're a big Troy Brown.
I would. I think
advocate.
Troy could still make plays. Now, maybe he couldn't do it for more than a game or two. Maybe then the hip really would hurt, the knee really. But I think it sounds cliche, but if you need 3rd and 7, I'll put Troy Brown out there, line him up, and I would expect him to get me 7 yards.
Jack,
by the way, there's just a hole. The pigs are here for the buffet line, just all coming through.
That's not going to last long.
And there was a little bit of miscommunication because Gary gave me a hand signal, which was a 1 and a 2, and points out into the hall where the food is lined up.
Meaning there are 12 people here.
Oh. No, I go, Brady's at the buffet? I thought Tom Brady stopped by for some Qdoba.
It's funny, you said the pig showed up as soon as you saw Laurie. That's not very nice.
Wow, I didn't say that,
he
Laurie.
He did say that.
Now, I may
no,
have said
that's what he said.
I may have said some things yesterday that were inappropriate.
Now you're getting the pinky.
But they were funny.
Jack wants to know if number 80 should be retired.
No.
I don't think we...
No.
Got to get away from
retiring.
Well,
based on their criteria for retiring numbers, no. Because not too many get retired.
Right.
Right.
I think you need to be a pro football Hall of Famer.
But to own the organization.
But he's definitely going to get into the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Oh,
really? You've come full circle on that.
Glad to hear you acquiesce.
It's amazing. 2 weeks ago, you didn't think he had a chance in heck.
I'm definitely... definitely going to
clean it up a little today. There's corporate sponsorship.
All of a sudden, you're cleaning it up.
Corporate sponsorship.
Well, we have to wait 4 years because the criteria is 4 years after they retire. So,
if he's not unanimous, I got a problem with your voting system.
Well, it depends on
there
who
should
else
be one candidate on Patriots.com that year. Should say Troy Brown. Click
what if
here.
It's Troy Brown versus Drew Bledsoe?
Troy Brown. Click here.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Oh, you're crazy.
Paul says you're crazy.
That's craziness.
He had the honor of catching passes from Drew a number of different ways, you know, as a receiver, as a defensive back when Drew was on the other team.
That's funny.
That is pretty funny and true.
It's funny because it's true. I think we have a phone call.
I think Gary's calling someone.
Chris
he's soliciting calls for the question.
Chris with a TIN says, that was an emotional and great send-off. I laughed and got a little teary-eyed. Funny how easy it is to forget the great plays he made. Personally, I'll remember the strip of Marlon McCree against the Chargers in the 07 divisional playoff game.
It is funny how many plays he's made in so many different ways that you could probably put a top 10 together and still miss plays, and a top 15 and still miss plays. Well,
I agree with him on the Marlon McCree play, by the way. That's a great
I'll never
play.
Forget that catch he made on his back at Giant Stadium.
You know, I was talking to Andy about this, Fred. Matt Smith, who heads up the Crass Sports Productions, was talking to me on Tuesday, and he asked me just kind of off the cuff, without giving it too much thought, give me your top five Troy Brown plays. And all the ones that we were talking about all came up. And I actually mentioned the Giants one, the strip, the punt return against Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship game, a couple others. And four out of the five that I mentioned, he didn't have on his list, on his five.
Wow.
And he ended up, as soon as I said the Marlon McCree, he goes, but we got to get that in there. We got to change that one. You know, he caught 16 passes in one game.
Yeah.
You know, against Kansas City. And there's so many things that he did. And I said, you know what? When you introduce this segment, you're going to have to say, this was so hard that, you know, here's a sample of things that didn't even make the list.
How about the great pass he caught against the Panthers in the Super Bowl in the fourth quarter to keep that drive going?
Bill mentioned that today.
I mean, that's a great catch.
Bill also mentioned the bomb from Patton in that Indianapolis game. I didn't even remember that.
Another one you kind of forget about.
Huge.
There are
play.
So many.
Catching the pass from Vinatieri against the Rams.
Yeah, that's the right. Sleeper.
Bill
sleeper
called
pass.
It.
Yeah.
Catching the pass from Bledsoe.
Which
All
one?
Right. Let's pile on. Which one?
Bill also, you know, talked about the snow kick being overrated because it was Troy that got it all going with a punt return.
And he
shot at the guy out of town.
Did he really say that?
And he also
said, you know, everybody talks about the Vinatieri kick, but that wouldn't happen.
Do you realize that there were two punt fumbles in that snow game, and the same guy recovered both?
Larry Izzo, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Special team captain.
Pretty good special teamer, you know.
Yeah. You know, you
made a career out of it.
You're taking all these shots at Drew.
What am I doing?
In regards to Troy, but it was, you know, and this is true. You ask Troy this.
This is true. You ask anyone.
Drew Bledsoe was instrumental in recognizing, probably before anybody else, how good Troy Brown was.
I've said it before and we'll continue to say it.
And he actually lobbied hard with Parcells. We got to keep this guy around. We got to find a way to keep this guy around. And it took a while, but he finally convinced people. And then obviously Belichick came and gave him a role that no one really had ever given him a chance to excel in. And
I wonder if they invited Drew today. Were there any alumni there?
No.
No? Okay, so probably on that day.
I would assume that day Drew, I would hope Drew would be here.
Wouldn't that be cool if he came out and like, threw a pass to him?
Can I poo-poo on one little nice little tidbit that a lot of people
That he wouldn't
used?
Have been drafted?
Aren't there a lot more teams now?
The flaw in that is today he would be a sixth-round draft pick.
Yeah.
He was drafted in the eighth round, but 198th overall, or one spot ahead of where Tom Brady went.
Right.
He would be a sixth round.
That kind of
today.
Not doesn't bother me, but it's not really true that he wouldn't have been drafted.
Right,
he would have been drafted.
That is
based
it's,
on the
it's
pick.
It's a neat little factoid that he got drafted in the eighth round, which doesn't exist.
Everybody,
Bill
referenced it. You know, Mr. Kraft.
Bill and Robert both mentioned it.
And I guess my guess is every story about him will sort of reference it.
Right,
Paul's won't because he's always right.
Well, I don't want to make it look bad.
We have a caller on the phone.
Yes.
All right, who's on the phone?
I'd like to answer the Qdoba question of the week so I can get some free food.
Nice try, two gender.
Those genders.
Those screw yourself.
Who's two gender? All right. The number is 508-543-7482. That's 508.
He called in for free
years
food.
Old?
508.
There's like 5 pounds of it outside.
508-543-7482. Call. We'll ask you a question about something that happened yesterday or Tuesday, and if you get it right, you will win a 20-person Qdoba taco burrito buffet.
I'm going to tell you, this is worth it. If you're going to watch NFL football on a Sunday, it's a great thing.
Yeah, this is easy.
And you know what? If you live in Stuttgart, Germany, you have to know somebody who lives in Massachusetts.
You know me.
Win the prize and give it to somebody.
It is the bye week.
Yeah.
We actually have people, Fred, who weren't even invited who are down here now eating.
I'm not
surprised. Well, why are we letting them eat?
Because I was answering two gender on the phone.
They weren't. People who work here? That's good. It's good that this radio show can help everyone.
We bring the organization together.
We foster goodwill.
We're family now.
We're bridge builders.
Finally.
We are. Yeah. Can I actually do have a practice report. Practice was early today. It was 11:15. So should I give a quick practice report?
Sure.
Fine.
I don't have to if you don't want me
to. No, go.
You don't want information to be put out there.
Absolutely. We want to get this stuff out there as soon as possible. We're the first.
Those not on the field. Kelly Washington, Lewis Sanders, Eric Alexander. That's it. So Rodney Harrison was back out there. Who else was that? Lakeven Smith back out there.
Well, Lewis Sanders had time to kick the soccer ball around. We couldn't practice. Great.
Yeah, that is interesting. The soccer ball in the locker room has definitely grown. Now there's 4, 5, 6 players
involved.
It's
out of control now.
It's a broken ankle waiting to happen, says he.
It really is. Somebody's going to tear an ACL during media availability.
They're kicking these panels out of the ceiling. Oh, they're popping out.
Yeah, it's gone to the point of it's a full-blown nuisance.
It is now,
quick note on the Randy Moss Bears watching angle. Spent the entire stretching period just laughing it up with Bill Belichick. F-bombs everywhere in both directions, colorful language. They were, like, running around like little schoolgirls. Bill was, like, in a full laughter. So not an issue yet. Anyway.
There, you know what's funny about that, too? I went up to him in the locker room, Fred, because he kind of succeeded Troy at Marshall. And so I said, hey, Randy, can I ask you a quick question about Troy Brown? And he goes, no, not today. But, I mean, very, you know, cordial, nothing mean about it. He just turned me down. And then maybe about 20 minutes later, a big pack of reporters is hovering around him. And he's sitting in his locker, and he turns around and he goes, interview's over. Yeah. It never started.
Right.
He just decided to declare the interview was over. But
press conference over.
Certainly in good spirits to back up Andy's report of him on the field.
Laughing up. Very light locker room, too, Fred.
Good.
You'd be happy to see during the bye week.
About as light as it was last week.
Players don't care about winning anymore.
Everybody's
happy. Why does Paul always?
Negative chimes in. I'm just kidding.
Which one was it? You or Paul? I heard Paul
too
being
busy
negative.
Playing soccer to worry about football. Just got beat by 25.
All I remember whenever I see them doing things like that, and I think back to the old days when Bethel Johnson used to play baseball with the umbrella and with a roll of tape, and Willie McGinnis used to walk in the locker room and put an end to it by saying, "You guys are in your playbook this week."
Yeah.
You know, if you spend enough time, as much time doing this as you did in your playbook.
It's like your father walking on you playing Nintendo.
So you're saying this doesn't speak well for Terrence Wheatley and
Jonathan
Wilhite, the young players?
Well, if they're the ones playing, then they should be stopped.
They are the ones playing.
The
entire secondary.
Delta O'Neal has been involved. Lewis
yesterday
Sanders.
It was Delta O'Neal.
Wes Welker was there
O'Neal
today.
O'Neal went down on his ass today at one point.
Yeah, it's an injury waiting to happen. No doubt.
It really is.
Somebody's got to get their eye poked
There's
out.
People in different footwear. There's sandals.
If
there's socks. There's cleats. No.
I mean, pretty much every media member.
Howard Omen got whacked today.
I got hit twice. I got hit once yesterday.
I think they're aiming for you.
I think that might be on purpose.
I agree.
Could be.
How could they miss you, Paul?
I don't know. How could they?
He has a lot of sack, this kid.
He's unbelievable.
You know?
I love you, Paul.
Maybe if you weren't
more
tying
sack,
up the lines,
no substance.
You're tying up the phone lines and people can't get through.
Strippers, can you call?
You're like the jackass who crank calls the fire department. Someone's burning their apartment meanwhile.
All right, webradio at patriots.com.
Time to take a break.
Phone number is 508-543-7482. We need someone in Massachusetts to call. But if you're not in Massachusetts, call anyway. Answer the question.
And then
everyone has a friend that lives in Massachusetts, right? We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I got a couple friends.
You donated to me and Andy.
So many of our listeners are all over the world.
I think they're afraid to talk on the air.
You think so? What about all those idiots that call EEI?
Maybe they should be afraid.
All right.
They should be afraid.
Let's take a break now. When we come back, I'll read Joel from Merrimack's email.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Well, we get Qdoba Catering for all
all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower.
For my son's graduation party.
It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas Tree Shops, Off-Broadway Shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
This is former quarterback Steve Grogan
and former linebacker Steve Nelson.
We want to tell you about the game with the greats.
Are you one of those old diehard fans who remembers their playing days, like the 1985 Super Bowl or the snowplow kick?
Maybe you just want to meet the newest members of the Patriot Hall of Fame, like Ben Coates or my good friend Stanley Morgan.
And Andre Tippett, one of my linebacking brothers. He'll be there too.
You think he'll bring his gold jacket with him?
I hope so. I can't wait to see it on him.
If you're a big-time fan, you won't want to miss the Game with the Greats. It's happening on October 5th at Gillette Stadium when the current Patriots are away at San Francisco.
Get your tickets now at patriots.com/alumni.
Hey, that's pretty good, huh, Steve?
Yeah, we still got it. We should call ESPN. We could be the next Mike and Mike.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. We have a caller who wants to be the first contestant, Andy.
I'm sorry, your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Okay, I guess we had a caller.
What the hell happened?
Two-gender.
Guess what happened? Two-gender.
Nice. Call back, Andy.
But I'm getting some criticism from people. They're saying, Tom in Bedford says, Fred, in regards to your conundrum of callers figuring out the answer to the question for today, how many true fans do you think will know the answer after they hear it on the air? Only fools like me who tune in once in a while, especially after a blowout like last game, need to go back and listen to the entire previous podcast. I'm sure that after about 4 hours of listening to yesterday's and Tuesday's, some PFW fan will have called in with the answer. And yes, Troy Brown will be in the Pats Hall
of Fame. Might as well just start asking a Patriot-related question.
By the way, you guys are awesome, way better than the other big show. And Josh in Arlington's on the phone. Josh, how you doing?
Good, man. I'll give it a go. Gary sucked me in by calling everybody a bunch of sissies, basically. So.
All right. What's the question, Gary?
I don't even know the question.
Okay. On Tuesday, Iggy from Madrid was here.
Yep.
What was the special type of food that he brought for Andy?
Paella.
Hey! There you go. You are the winner.
I am the winner.
All right. So stay on the line. That's how they do it, right?
God, I am the winner.
And Gary will take all your information.
Stay on the line. Gary will get your info. And
congratulations.
Josh. You have won
You will not be disappointed.
A 20-person buffet from Qdoba.
Actually, I think it's more than that, Freddie. We had about 40 people out here.
Yeah. So it's awesome.
Including Paul.
You're really going to like it. All right.
Wow.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. See ya. All right, so there we go.
See how easy that is?
So all you people that were...
The rest of you pansies who didn't want to call. See how easy that is? We missed out on 20
Everybody was... Joe and Rosendale wrote in. He says, I'm ready to call, but I'm not going to fall on my sword. I'm waiting for someone else to call to get the question out and get it wrong so I can look it up and get it right. I bet a lot of other people are doing that, too. I think you may have to ask the question on air and then take callers and award it to the first right answer.
Nope, sorry, you lose. Josh is getting a 20-person taco fiesta.
Hey, whoever that last emailer was, he who hesitates.
That's right.
Loses.
That's right.
And then falls on his own sword.
So we're going to do this every Thursday. And it's always going to be based on something that happened on that week's previous shows. And
it won't be hard.
No, it won't be that hard.
It's not going to be like
what
machine did Fred buy last week and use once before putting it in the closet to never see it again?
That's an easy one.
You know, and I was
speaking of which, did you juice today?
What?
Have you juiced today?
Once this is over, the bye week.
Okay.
Fred's juicing now?
Oh, once the bye week is over?
Not that kind of juicer. Fruits and vegetables.
He's not doing that either.
Which he's not even doing.
Because the first glass of juice cost him $22 in produce.
By the way, that's Kyle. Right.
Yeah, that voice was Kyle's.
He has to come here
hey
to
guys.
Eat.
Why are you
invited? He comes in here, puts headphones on, puts the mic on, and then starts eating a taco.
Eating into the microphone.
What are you doing?
I figured I could do at least as well as Eric, even with food in my mouth.
I agree.
Wow.
Can't really argue
By the way,
with that
where
logic.
Is Eric?
I think he's writing.
Is he still writing?
Writing.
Kyle throwing
Give
haymakers.
A call maybe later.
He was
five
shopping
minutes
for
into
pumps,
the
I think. I walked past his desk.
Another haymaker. Big left hand.
Well done, Kyle.
Well, from someone who has the munchies, we want to know how the Qdoba is.
Oh, yeah. How does this work for the podcast?
You know what?
I
got the very last pieces of meat, like the last 8 pieces of meat. And it's a little dry, but it was good. I put a lot of sauce on it. So
are you a little dry?
Are you high right now?
He's stoned right now.
Yeah,
I think you are.
You know, he got the munchies, and then he came down here and just started eating.
He's friggin' baked.
Yeah. No, he came down here because Lori came down here, and he follows Lori wherever she goes.
No, Ferreira clued me in. He's like, the food's almost gone. You got
to
get down there. So
you guys going
Gary,
to the Sadie Hawkins
them?
And
yes,
Bert Breer stopped me in the hall, so I had to chat
with
him.
Did you not see the email?
I didn't read who was on it necessarily.
You
complained about who was on it.
Just low.
All right.
All right.
Dan Heffron says, I'm going to miss Troy Brown, one of my favorite players in any sport of any era, and I want to give him my respect, my top 10 Troy Brown moments or plays. Number 10. Bingo! I've got bingo. I win again.
Bingo!
How about we just go right to number 1?
We got bingo!
.. 1.
Number 9, against the Philadelphia Eagles in 1999, when everyone on the team quit on the Coach Carroll. This game specifically, there was one player who was head and shoulders above the rest, still trying on every play, Troy Brown. He recovered a fumble and showed more hustle in that game than everyone else on the team. Remember that game?
I absolutely remember that. He's right.
Number 8, against the New York Giants in 96, Troy caught a drive-saving catch that was thrown to him while he was already on the ground. The catch led to a touchdown and a comeback win and helped secure a first-round bye. Number 7, against Kansas City in 02, Troy was on his way to possibly setting the NFL record for most receptions in a single game before a leg injury sidelined him. He still set the Patriots record with 16 catches. Number 6, against Atlanta in 01. The Patriots had their version of the immaculate reception as a pass intended for David Patton was either deflected or bounced off his helmet or both, rebounded into Troy Brown's hands, and Troy ran it in for a touchdown. I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I do. It should have been picked off.
Number 5, again, this kid's unbelievable. Number 5, against Buffalo in 04, Troy Brown records the first interception of his career picking off.
Drew.
They're not booing.
Number 4, against Carolina in Super Bowl 38, after receiving a ticky-tack offensive pass interference call, Troy Brown immediately responds with a 14-yard reception with 30 seconds left in the game, leading to a deja vu Super Bowl kick from Adam Vinatieri.
Tremendous catch.
Number 3, against the Dolphins in 03 in an overtime game that Patriots almost lost several times. Troy Brown answers the bell with an 80-plus yard touchdown reception to end the losing streak in Miami.
Which, by the way, was number one for Troy.
Much to the delight of Steve Burton,
right,
who made the cover of PFW that week.
Number two against the Rams in Super Bowl 36 in a tie game. With time running out, Troy Brown makes a 16-yard reception and gets out of bounds, giving Adam Vinatieri a chance to make a game-winning field goal after one more catch from Jermaine Wiggins to move Adam a little closer. And the number one Troy Brown moment or play, according to Dan Heffron, against Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship of the 01 season, there were a number of plays that Troy made, but none bigger than the punt return for a touchdown, which opened up the lead for the Patriots. Looking back on this game, with the punt return, block field goal, pickup for a touchdown, and his big catches, Troy Brown almost defeated the Steelers by himself.
I tuned out for about 5 minutes there. Did he mention the Marlon McCree play?
He didn't, and that needs to be on a top 10.
It's a bad list, then.
No, it just shows you that he's had a lot of good plays.
No, but that's better than the Drew Bledsoe interception.
That was the point that Andy and I were trying to make about
you can make a
list and you have to
where he saved the season, basically.
Yeah, you have to add a whole bunch of others and say, these didn't even make the list. And with that Marlon McCree strip.
Yeah, you rank him based on importance of the game.
Game's over.
The game's over. The season's over if he doesn't make that play.
If they, I totally agree. Even if they just ran the ball three plays and didn't score, San Diego probably would have won the game if they made the Patriots have to go 80-plus yards down the field and then get a two-point conversion.
We all jump on Paul for the Drew pick, but that was just a milestone moment. That
it was just a pretty
play.
Little
the game was over
visual
anyway, too.
Kind of thing.
Yeah,
I just think
icing on the cake.
If you're going over Troy Brown's career and you're trying to highlight five things, I think that needs to be there because you need an element of him playing defense.
Right, that's the epitome of his career.
That's the signature because, Bill talked in great detail about the Donald Driver situation, but the signature moment was the first interception, and the fact that it was Drew makes it huge.
Right. Joel in Merrimack says, got stuck at work today, so I'll have to listen later. Just watch the news conference where Troy Brown announces retirement. What a guy. I have so many great memories of him that to single out one is difficult, but I did it, and it came down to the punt return against the Steelers in 01, probably because I was sitting with a bunch of Steeler fans who were so busy gloating about how Pittsburgh was going to stomp the Pats that to see Troy's return wipe that look from the faces was priceless. I thought it was funny, but apropos that Belichick chose the 06 Green Bay game where Troy Brown played corner against Donald Driver and held him to one catch for 3 yards. Isn't that just like a defensive coach? I know that Troy will never make it into Canton, but if you think about it, he probably should. I mean, isn't it based on a body of work over a career? And he has been such a difference maker in big games. I'm probably being a Patriot homer, but at least I can have solace in the fact that he will be in the Patriots Hall of Fame eventually, no matter what some PFW writer thinks. I will definitely miss seeing Mr. Clutch.
Fred doesn't write.
Don't blame this on PFW writers.
He does four paragraphs.
I will definitely miss seeing Mr. Clutch out in the field, but at least I had the privilege of being able to watch him over the last 14 seasons.
I have a very important question.
Here's the definition of a Patriot.
For you, Paul, and you, Fred. Did Troy Brown develop into a playmaker, or had he been given the chance earlier in his career, would he have been a playmaker much earlier?
I'm guessing the latter. I can't tell you that for sure. It's like, what?
No, I know. I'm just your opinion.
My opinion is that he needed, and I thought he said it very well, I needed to find the guy who would give me the opportunity, and that was Bill Belichick.
Because basically, then he would have been a chance at a Hall of Famer.
Oh, if he put
if he's catching 100 balls in like 97, 98, and it's all added, then you add in all the defense and all his other big plays elsewhere. That full body of work, as the emailer said, would have been more worthy of Canton.
Now,
at this point, it's too short.
Now, at the same time, it's not necessarily a situation where he was wronged in any way. I mean, he was behind Terry Glenn and Sean Jefferson and, earlier in his career, Vincent Brisby. Those guys were pretty good receivers then. Terry Glenn caught 100 balls. Ben Coates was a tight end there catching 100 balls. So,
Bill said Troy was the toughest when he was the secondary.
By the way, Kevin Falk is one pass away from either catching or passing Terry Glenn on the all-time reception list.
Yeah, a little known fact.
Read that in the notes. I do read the preview notes.
So I think, Andy, that he probably would have been a playmaker had he gotten the opportunity earlier.
Okay.
Fred, you have no opinion.
I just think he was great.
But just
last week,
the Great Gatsby, he was great.
But just for a point of comparison, we're talking about Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's got 4,000 fewer yards than Stanley Morgan.
Right.
who's not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, you could certainly make a strong argument that Stanley Morgan belongs in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
And I believe he has 31 touchdowns, and Randy Moss had 23 last year.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's not rain on the Troy Brown day here.
It really is, but when you think about the contributions he's made to the Patriots over the years, you're right. He's a shoo-in.
That's what makes him a Patriots Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Now it's absolute.
No doubt about it.
A week ago, you didn't want him in there.
No doubt about it.
Here comes Fred.
Then you talked to Mr. Kraft. Fred, said we're honoring him, and you said, oh, change my tune.
Were there rumors that he was going to sign with the Jets that day?
What day?
Like a week and a half ago when you said that he wasn't a Hall of Famer?
No, absolutely not. Why?
I'm just wondering.
We're trying to find a reason for your blindness.
No, I just, you know how I am with Halls of Fame. I don't think half the guys that are in the Patriots Hall of Fame should be.
Ooh.
I'm just
give us those half because we have a guy here right
I just
now
think that you know,
Billy D.
No, I just think, all right. I just think, I have this like kind of high opinion of what a Hall of Fame should be. You know,
I agree.
But this isn't
the
whole
Hall of Fame. It's the Patriots
Hall of Fame. Even within a team's Hall of Fame,
so you'd have a high school Hall of Fame that would only have
anybody
like
who
went NFL players, right?
Let's not go to high school.
But that's what it is. It's a step down from the real one.
No, you do what you did in high school, but. You know, as far
and
as
and he
like,
did what he did as a Patriot.
I
he
know,
was the best Patriot.
Well, and you might be right there, but when I'm
now we're back to might be.
when I first started thinking, I'm thinking of you know Drew Bledsoe. I'm not Drew Bledsoe. Tom Brady and you know
those
type of guys.
Football and those guys will be competing with him to get that.
And
that's
a certain level of player. And
that's Kyle.
You know,
well, so they'll be retiring. You
and
know,
I guess that's why like places like the Packers. Have different levels. They have a Ring of Honor, then they have retired numbers. You know, a team like the Packers has been around for 80 years, only has like 5 retired numbers.
But that's not what we're arguing.
Right. No, I know that. I know that.
That I'm 1,000%.
But right now, all we have is one level, really.
But you need to recognize all the great. I mean, for example, we talked about Chuck Fairbanks deserved to be considered.
I don't know about that.
No, I know. But if you compare him to Bill Belichick, then he doesn't get in because Bill Belichick has 3 Super Bowl titles, went to another one, has a perfect season. Bill Belichick's going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That doesn't mean Chuck Fairbanks wasn't great dealing with bad ownership and building a great team.
But see, that's the thing. You start compromising because up till now, you know, let's just say Belichick never came here. When you look at the body
we're off the air.
No. when you look at the body of work of the Patriots, then Chuck Fairbanks is a shoo-in. You know, because he's probably the one of the most, you know, successful coaches, brought a lot of talent to the team.
Long
you
tenure.
Know, in terms of the team's success, which even then was marginal. You know, so it's all relative. Now we've gone to a whole different level. Yeah, and so now, you know, I think Chuck Fairbanks, he was a great coach, innovator, good eye for talent, but he's not on the level of Bill Belichick.
But the other guys, the team Hall of Fame.
I think his drafts compare with anyone that's ever drafted.
That's true. Absolutely.
And the team Hall of Fame is a way to honor guys who otherwise wouldn't be honored in Canton.
Plus, why do we only honor Tom Brady here and then in Canton?
Here.
Well, this place is not Canton.
No,
people understand that.
And you're also penalizing guys. You know, there's other things that are in place. There's no doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind. And I'm not saying this because I work here. If Robert Kraft was the owner of the Patriots in the late 70s, Chuck Fairbanks would have won a Super Bowl with the Patriots.
I think trickles down from the top. You're absolutely right.
So there are other things that were kind of beyond the control. When you're worried about the players not unmaking their beds when they go on a road trip so you don't have to pay for the hotel.
But when you start doing that, well, he would have if. You can't
but
play
it's part
that
of sport.
Game.
You can. It's part of sport.
Not when you're doing
do,
Halls
you
of Fame.
Yes.
What if Chuck Fairbanks had Tom Brady as his quarterback? Would he have won Super Bowls?
But he didn't, and he didn't. So
but Bill Belichick did, and he did.
But
you're taking the easy way out. You're making it be achievement only. If you don't win a Super Bowl, you weren't great. I'm making it harder. I want to assess the guy based on what I saw and what I experienced. Chuck Fairbanks built a powerhouse football team, and he did it all, just like Bill's doing it all.
Well, that,
just like Bill does
and
it
if he does get in, that's exactly why he will get in.
And I'm not – this isn't really an argument for Chuck.
No,
I'm saying,
just kind of threw it out there.
Yeah, it's – you need to look at it. It can't just be based on achievement. You can't just say these guys have made it almost impossible. The success that they've had in the 2000s, according to you, have made it impossible for anybody to ever achieved anything prior to this.
Well, but what happens if somebody comes who's better? Does that devalue Bill Belichick
and
Tom Brady? What if there's a quarterback that comes along that throws for 150,000 yards, averages 50 touchdowns a season? Is Tom Brady no longer good?
Can you imagine if
he's still good.
Imagine if Kevin O'Connell succeeds Tom Brady in 2010 and wins 11 consecutive Super Bowls. Does that mean that Tom Brady didn't belong in the Hall of Fame? Because, yeah. I mean, look by comparison.
How did Larry Bird ever get into the Celtics, get his number retired? I mean, he didn't do what Bill Russell did. He didn't win enough rings. He couldn't possibly be good.
Okay, but let's just say that guy does do that, okay? And he,
Fred will be tearing down the Brady picture. You know,
no. God forbid poor Bledsoe is in that Hall of Fame. He'll be throwing darts at the any
no,
memorabilia.
I think Drew gets in right
of course
away.
He gets in.
Does. Yeah.
But
the
problem
is Brady was better than him doesn't mean
I know.
That.
The problem with it is that, you know, like the Celtics, they everyone gets their number retired.
But,
you know, the Bruins, every time
the
they win a game, they put a banner up. You know, and what happens is,
well, I think, and we've argued about this. I think the Celtics thing is a little bit unfair.
You know,
there's a couple of guys that shouldn't have their numbers retired. The vast majority of those guys are in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame.
I know, and that's a problem.
Reggie Lewis shouldn't have his number retired.
I just have really
that's
really
a problem. They've been recognized as the greatest to ever play.
I just
the sport.
Have a real, real strict standard because I really want it to be special. You know, and so like you know when that guy does come and throws averages 50 touchdowns a game, you know. He's in the same Hall of Fame as Babe Parilli. Not to take anything away from Babe Parilli, but
Babe Parilli was great for his generation.
It's got to be contextualized.
Right.
Like you got to put it. Yeah, you got to put
hey,
it in the era that
hey.
They're playing.
Wow,
Eric Scalzino.
Somebody got done with his homework.
Brought you a present.
What?
What's that
brought
for?
Present.
Brought us a media guide.
I'm gonna.
What's yeah. three right here?
There's three.
So you'll know your history.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to let Scalz take the mic in a second here, but I just want to say that yes. I think the team Hall of Fame should be about.
Oh, he blew you up. You're gone. Sorry. No, you're really not on. No, you're really not on.
Put his microphone on.
What do you want
to
say?
He's going to hang himself.
I don't want him to
come on.
He just exceeded.
Put his mic back.
Eric's word total for a week.
Right. I was just going to say that I think the team Hall of Fame, I think it's okay for it to be about who the fans of that team love. The Pro Football Hall of Fame is about the players that are well-respected across the board for statistics, for length of career, and everything that's tangible, but you talk about a guy like Troy Brown who made a lot of great plays. That doesn't show up on the stats. You know, I think he deserves to be in because the players
love
him that
much. So Ray Ventrone gets in because everyone loves him.
That's a great comparison. Ray Ventrone to Troy Brown.
That's ridiculous.
Here we go.
I really respect your standards for Hall of Fame, but
nobody's going to get in by your standard.
No, yeah.
Right.
Like Dan Fouts.
You should tear down that $20 million building because it's useless. No one's going in there.
It's not just a Hall of Fame. It's not just a Hall of Fame.
But most of the people that are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I'm guessing you don't think belong there.
I think a lot of them should not go in.
That's amazing to me. I think it's one of the hardest ones to get in.
You can't punish players and coaches for what happens after they retire and after they leave. That's not fair either because circumstantially, Chuck Fairbanks did not succeed here. Because of the ownership, and
I just
other
don't.
Mitigating
when
factors.
It comes to halls of fame, I hate compromising. I hate to say, well,
it's not compromising.
If he had been with a better quarterback, he would have
I'm
been better.
I'm not compromising. Stanley Morgan's numbers are better than the vast majority of wide receivers that are there.
Not, you know, but
it's not compromising.
If
but
he
never won a Super Bowl,
if he had been on a better team, if he had,
but see,
had
I don't
a better
think,
owner,
I think that's only in response to people saying he didn't win. That's, they're not using that as the crutch
exactly.
of their argument.
Right.
They're saying
when they don't win, you have to go on crux. Individual accomplishment. You have to go on numbers.
Right.
And what
he has that crux.
Crutch too.
Well, you're not going to put Christian Fourier in because he won Super Bowls and not
right.
put
but no one's going to ask
never
for him.
Do that.
But there's guys.
Point,
there's borderline guys like Kevin Falk is a guy Paul and I have talked about. I think he's a Hall of Famer, a team Hall
Patriots
of Famer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to me, I kind of agree with Eric. That's what the team Hall of Fame is for. You're not living up to the standards of the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I
but Falk's
that.
A guy as a running back who's going to be top five all time team in receiving.
No, I know.
So I mean,
but according to Fred,
to
he doesn't
lot.
Even sniff the standards that it should be. And that's I think he's the perfect candidate.
Fantasy notes. Keep Rashard Bateman Hall on the bench.
Quick little update. According to the fantasy gurus,
what the fuck
for ESPN? Is this ESPN?
Yeah.
ESPN News.
Keep Rashard Mendenhall on the bench.
Stupid.
Wow. Well,
the Raven defense is tough.
You can do whatever you want, but
what does the lowdown say about Mendenhall?
I don't know. We'll find out.
I don't know. The lowdown said to bench Ronnie Brown, so we shouldn't go by them.
It's at 4 o'clock. We'll find out what the lowdown
maybe
says about Rashard Mendenhall.
I'll never find out.
On Eric. The phone is Andy from Pensacola.
Yes.
How you doing,
Hi.
Andy?
Not too bad. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, I think that Hall of Fame, I mean, we do it right when you vote for it, so it's all about the people there and who are Pats fans who vote on it. So you're right, it shouldn't be a matter of what you're comparing to the Canton Hall of Fame. It should be what they've done for the Pats, and it's like a popularity contest for the most part.
Well, I agree with that, and I like the way Stacey James has set it up with the criteria and, you know, having getting the three finalists from the writers and other people who have been around the team for a long time, and then having the fans vote on those three people. I like that system. That's a good system.
Well, it seems that's what it's about. It's like popularity for the most part.
Well, it shouldn't be just popularity, though, because then you get into, you know, there were a lot of guys who were, you know, I'll take the Mets, for example. Ron Swoboda was a very popular Met, but he should never be in the Mets Hall of Fame. They called him Mr. Met.
But don't you think there'll be enough fans who wouldn't vote for Ray Ventrone because they think it's ridiculous,
right,
too?
Right, but I'm saying it shouldn't be a popularity contest. There should be some thought.
But I think there's enough knowledgeable fans so that even if it is a popularity contest,
they're
it's knowledgeable fans.
Right. So there should be some thought to it.
What about Seau? I mean, he played...
No. Absolutely
no.
not. Not
played
in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Patriots,
no way.
No way.
Right. So, but then again, he's going to be in Canton.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, but the team Hall of Fame is...
But he didn't do it with the Patriots.
He's going
right.
to Canton for his accomplishments over...
I think
eight,
he was a Hall of Fame
locked
before he got here.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Call me crazy.
Same with Randy Moss.
You're crazy.
Yeah.
Well, then, I mean, well, let me put it this way. I emailed a couple times. I was under the name of Krusty because I was deployed to Djibouti. I was the one who was a Brewski. I'm a pretty big Brewski fan just because of the way he is. And I know, like, Tom, when he left, he was, you know, pretty.
We don't mention that
Brewski.
Name.
Yeah, sorry.
You're a little slow.
You know, I totally missed the podcast, what that was about.
You haven't been around a while. Maybe you haven't heard.
Well, one of you guys just mentioned Randy Moss. What do you think about him going in the Patriots Hall of Fame?
No.
I don't think he should.
Not yet.
Not unless he plays,
I mean,
like
he plays
five
four
years.
More years.
His records will be immortalized in the hall, no doubt about it. Some of the, but not he
if
yet,
he stays
no.
here for like five more years and has, you know.
Let's say he plays out his contract.
3 years, this year and two more.
I'd have probably
correct.
Depends on
what he does.
He'd have to play at a pretty high level.
He really, yeah. I don't.
Just
yeah.
like
more than two catches a game he's on pace for.
Curtis Martin, you know, played 3 years for the Patriots, and in my opinion, from what I saw, he's the best running back to ever play for the Patriots.
I agree with
now,
that.
Now, I don't go back to Jim Nance and those guys. I didn't see right. any of those guys play, but Sam yeah. Cunningham, Craig James, Tony Collins, that you know,
Curtis Martin may get
Corey
into the
Dillon,
Hall of Fame, Pro
those,
Football Hall
oh,
of Fame.
Curtis
he will.
Martin,
yeah.
lock
but a lot of that
football.
Is his career.
But,
after
but I don't know if he goes
right,
into the Patriots.
But I don't think he should be in the
no,
Patriots Hall of Fame. He only
years.
Played 3 years yeah. here, even right. though I think he's the best running back to
I
ever
agree
play.
With you.
Right.
Well, I agree with
Moss,
that.
Moss broke a record while he was a Patriot.
Right. Right. Moss may go down as the best receiver to ever play here, but he may only play here for 3 or 4 years.
I mean, Ellis
Hobbs.
He already is. You're right.
Look, Ellis Hobbs broke a record, too, but he's not going to get into the Hall of Fame, you know, right now. It's not just breaking a record.
And that's why it's a Hall of Fame and yeah. museum, because they can recognize
right.
the 23 touchdowns, the 108-yard kick return, whatever, without putting a guy up on a pedestal saying he was the greatest ever.
Oh, they right. have Randy Moss's gloves in the Hall of Fame.
Do they?
Yeah, we do.
Upstairs, yeah.
yeah.
Now we're nice display.
So you think someone like Brewski, I would think Brewski would be a...
I think Brewski
yeah.
has a
oh, yeah.
should go in over Randy Moss or Curtis Martin.
A Patriot?
Hall of Fame?
Absolutely.
I think Brewski is the kind of guy you're targeting when you're talking about team.
Because longevity is a part of it, too.
Sure.
Being seen as a member of that team only, basically.
Longevity.
Yeah. Randy Moss isn't. Junior Seau is a charger.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Longevity, productivity, and popularity. Do you think
Brewski's going to retire soon now, too, after this season?
Brewski?
Yes.
I think so. I think if he plays next year, it'll be his last.
I agree.
How about Rodney Harrison?
I agree.
I think the same thing. 1 or 2 years at the
couple
most.
More years.
He's a guy that's.
Are you asking me though?
You could talk about Patriots
Hall
of Fame
Famer?
With him.
That's what I'm saying. His impact
yeah, five,
was
yeah.
pretty big
seven,
when he got
eight,
here.
You know, 6 years
and three Super
that's,
Bowls.
I think that's long enough.
Oh no, two. He wasn't here for the first one, right? Yeah.
I think his impact was tremendous upon his arrival.
I would
so
say
I think there's
be
a strong case for him.
He's got a case now. He missed basically a whole year. You know, suspended in a different year. So there's some negatives too, but I'm not exactly the most unbiased.
Yeah, you kind of get nostalgic problem. Though when you have a team that's won 3 Super Bowls in that amount of time. You kind of get nostalgic for all the players that contributed,
and that
the contributes
point that I'm trying
to
make
problem.
With Fred. You know, Fred wants all of those guys over guys that I would say are better.
That
players.
Laid the foundation too, guys that helped this team to get where it is today. Like as who was it that said that the Hall of Fame induction ceremony? We were the fertilizer.
Oh, yeah.
No, it wasn't Billy D.
Nick Bonacani.
Nick Bonacani
called
that.
Them the fertilizer.
We were the fertilizer.
Which, you know, Troy Brown would call horse poop.
But it's true. I mean, certain players who played here may not have had the success, but you wouldn't have that success now were it not for those guys. So they have to be recognized
horse
in some
poop.
Way. Thanks,
horse
Gary.
Poop.
All right, Gary, it's 1 o'clock. That means we have to take our 105 break. We'll be right back.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place and Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna here. Let me tell you about the game with the greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching a game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the Game with the Greats on October 5th at Gillette Stadium. Watch the Patriots take on the 49ers in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me and a bunch of other Patriot alumni. Guys like newly inducted Hall of Famer Andre Tippett and Patriots Hall of Famers Ben Coates, Stanley Morgan, Steve Nelson, and Steve Grogan will be there. Tickets are limited because they're only $40. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender.
Twogender.
January 31st, 2008. Babes in Scottsdale. So I'm walking down the North Scottsdale Road in Old Town Scottsdale with one of our team photographers, Keith Nordstrom. We were looking for some shots for the story I just posted on Patriots.com about the happenings in and around town during Super Bowl week. As we're scoping out the scene, we hear two of the sweetest voices in unison ask, "Are you guys lost?" We turn around to find these two gorgeous women, a blonde in the driver's seat and a brunette on the passenger side, smiling at us through the open window of their car, which was stopped at a traffic light. Naturally, like sailors drawn to the sirens, we approached them and started chatting. Apparently, they work for some outfit called the Arizona Angels. They have a website for anyone interested in learning more. They asked us who we worked for, we said the Patriots, and they became even more interested in talking. Just when things appeared to be going great, the damn traffic light turned green and they were on their way. Should have said, "Yes, we're lost. Can you give us a ride?"
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
All right, back here in PFW in progress.
They never sound that funny when you write them, Fred.
I didn't write that.
I'm talking in general.
Who's they?
Eric.
You wrote that.
I wrote that one, yeah.
All right.
You write all of them.
Don't try to pass the buck.
Instead of going with, like, sailors to sirens, shouldn't you have gone, like, you to a sailor? Wouldn't that have been
better?
You were lying your ass off.
Anyway, we're still kind of with our...
Eric's here, by the way.
We've got our belts unbuckled after the Qdoba feast. Today is Thursday, and every Thursday from now on will be the Qdoba question of the week. Today's winner was... Who was it?
Josh from Arlington.
Josh from Arlington, who correctly answered today's question, and he won a 20-person buffet courtesy of Qdoba, which is going to pick up at any participating Qdoba in Massachusetts.
As opposed to 20 people eating tacos, which you said they were going to win yesterday.
Right.
20 people going to come to your house and eat tacos.
So we're going to do that every Thursday from now on. So you have to listen to the shows Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll ask a question on Thursday based on something that happened before. First caller who gets the right answer will win this great buffet. And let me tell you, it was unbelievable. Who's at the door?
This is Brad Feldman, the voice of the New England Revolution. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's word. Go!
Well, thank you, Brad, because that's very appropriate. They're playing soccer in the locker room. We got Brad doing this. And then the word, of course, whose day is it?
Troy Brown.
So the word is brown alert. That's brown alert.
That's your word of the day.
Certainly post-Qdoba, it's my word of the day. But there was a second option. It's a brown dusty muffin. It's a brown dusty muffin. That one I cannot read. Gary yells at me now. Did you know that we're only allowed to say these phrases the day of the Urban Dictionary word of the like? You know, I'm no longer allowed to say brown dusty muffin in the future.
I like brown dusty
you can
muffin.
Say that.
Yes, you can.
Oh. Why'd you yell when I said wagon rut yesterday?
That's why.
It's a wagon. It's going through a muddy road, and there's a rut.
The sugar can be brown from other sources.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Ooh, we got to do picks today, right? We're going to do that in about 20 minutes.
And we don't have spreads.
Yeah, I don't have the spreads.
Horse poop over there.
We don't have the spreads. Gary, can you effort spreads?
I don't think I can.
Why not?
Because that little blue screen will pop up that says blocked gambling.
It's got to be somewhere. Somewhere.
No, ESPN has it.
Newspaper?
Yeah.
Newspaper, anyone?
Yeah, you got your paper in your office?
Yeah.
Come on.
You'll never get up there and back in time.
Go to ESPN.com, Fred. Just go on to the website right now.
I need the Herald.
Why do you need the Herald?
Because that's where I get the spreads from.
Yeah, tell Two Gender to run that
paper. If
they're
online, I can get them.
They're not online.
Your computer
Two Gender's going to go up and get the
Herald ones on.
Two Gender will bring the Herald so we can remain consistent with our numbers.
Okay.
And you should want everything to remain consistent based on your early season success.
Jeff in North Providence. You know Jeff?
I know some people named Jeff. They happen to live in North Providence.
He says, is there any way you guys could make your Neckin' Show a weekly video podcast like Patriots Today? As a matter of fact, yes.
It's on the site as we speak,
it's
right?
It's on the site, and it will be there every week, so you can watch Tuesday's show as we speak.
And I believe you can do it on Tuesdays, and you can watch it by, I don't know, Friday, by the time Chris is actually able to get it on the website.
I believe he's working on streamlining that process, and there were some few issues.
What's up with you? Why are you taking his side? What's that all about?
All of a sudden, you're defending Chris.
We horse poop on him a lot.
I got the bird from Ferrera yesterday.
Well, I'm sure you deserved it. Was he contacting the mothership at the time?
No, that was afterwards.
I bet you he's in the stall right now after those three plates he left with.
He left with three plates?
Horse poop.
We're talking about the fans earlier in the week. Stephen Winchester writes in, there's been a lot of talk. People complained that Foxborough crowd isn't really loud. Well, that changed dramatically after the Crafts bought the team and focused building a professional family atmosphere. I went to the games in the 80s and 90s, and those were wild crowds. That group has turned over. The guys that yelled all game and fought during halftime have lost their tickets based on their behavior. The new stadium has a middle bowl of luxury suites with ticket holders enjoying shrimp and brie inside. The stadium is much more comfortable, but it has to be double the size with a smaller number of seats. I love the bigger seats and all the space compared to the metal benches, but it does dilute the noise. However, when players start complaining about fans booing and leaving early, maybe they need to consider the reason. I sat through 1-15 season. I sat through the rain and snow and metal bleachers. I sat through the 12-below Tennessee playoff game where beer froze solid in my cup. I sat through 2 hours of traffic getting to the game and getting out. And I'll be there 10 years from now. Will you? Whether this team won 21 games before this or lost 14, that was a very poor performance on Sunday. You don't want to see fans leaving early. Want some advice on how to prevent that? I'm not saying these fans are spoiled and expect to win every game, but I think we know good football.
And that was not good football.
I agree with what he said. The only thing I disagree with is before the Crafts bought the team, this still was not a loud fan base.
It was very loud. The email is right about that, and the Crafts did a great job of cleaning it up. But I thought the difference to me is the new stadium, and he hit the nail right on the head. The large majority of the seats along the sidelines are now club seat holders.
Right.
And they're not going to make a lot of noise.
Right. That's
true. Why is that? Why can't rich people cheer?
They're too cool.
Because they're too rich.
I don't know. But
they don't want to risk getting thrown out.
I think there's a lot of truth
to cheer for them.
Is that Steve? Is that emailer? I think there's a lot of truth.
You'd have to do a lot to get
thrown
out of a red
seat. But I still think that when...
But the Crafts did a great... That was an Animal House.
It's just personality. It's not about getting thrown out.
Our fans weren't like Kansas City where they cheered when we were on defense.
No, Fred.
He's
an
overgrown frat boy. You're talking like 55, 60-year-old CEOs. They're not going to paint their face and get drunk and cheer.
But you don't have to... I mean...
But that's what he's insinuating.
Why
because all the rowdy people got thrown out,
get drunk,
and all the
why can't
real
you just
fans
cheer?
Don't you think average guy, average Joe, if you were
Me.
A fan, okay?
I am a fan. I'm average Joe. I'm a man of the people.
Okay.
Go ahead.
If you're, if you're in the stands, cracks at me aside, if you're in the stands, how loud are you going to be?
I don't know.
Doesn't it kind of depend
probably,
on?
Probably not overly. You're probably not going to be one of the louder people in your section, right? You're probably not going to be.
Oh, I can be.
You're probably not going to be the fireman Ed type getting guys up. Let's go. Come on,
I don't do
down.
That.
You're not
going to
do that.
But I clap and
if
cheer pretty loudly.
If it's a really
at a Red Sox game or a Celtics game,
if it's
the
a really
are
really big
me,
spot in the game, you're going to get up and you're going to be into the game. But for the most part, over a 4-quarter stretch, you're not going to be doing what Fred's talking about in Kansas City. You know, screaming and yelling the whole game. And
you're
I
not
going to
be like those
average...
Ohio State fans you ran into at...
Exactly.
Oh,
geez, most average people, I don't think, are going to go and be completely out of control loud.
No, they want to sit there. They want to watch the game. They want to absorb it.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, enjoy the experience of being there and watching the game.
Especially like you said, in the club seats.
If the other team gets a first
now,
and goal,
if it's a key
then,
spot in the
know.
Game, you know the other team's driving late in the game. You need to stop. Everybody's got to be up and everybody's got to be screaming.
Yeah,
that's you know the game's on the line. You got to do the best you can to try to.
Hey, two gender.
Thanks, those genders.
But aren't the same rich people at Fenway, or no? Are there a lot more
poor
people
at Fenway? There's a lot of rich people at Fenway, but it's a much more intimate atmosphere.
It's more of a college crowd.
No, I know, but
it's a tiny little park.
My point is, at Fenway, whether it's the third inning or the fifth inning or the sixth inning, and I know there's a lot more separation between points of cheering, but they generally, you see, if there's an appropriate time for the crowd to be up and cheering at Fenway, they are. And if it's the same, regardless of the venue, if all the people there are up and cheering how they you know might be appropriate for the moment, you would think all the people here would be up and cheering at the appropriate moment.
Yeah, I think part of that is what Fred talks about all the time. I don't think that it's a very football-sophisticated crowd.
Well, that's a possibility.
It's more of a college crowd at Fenway, too. I think you have more Yahoos there than you would
I
here.
Think it's in the city. A lot of students go. A lot of, you know...
They're just there to drink. They're
I don't
want
to say...
Well, if we're
game.
Getting back to that point where there's a clear separation of socioeconomic
I think
divide or whatever.
I mean, you know, you have to get in your car and get here.
I think it also
you
depends
take
on
the
how
tea,
well your
you
team
take
is
a bus,
doing.
You can walk.
In general.
No, I know, but I just think in general, the Red Sox have been good for the last 7 or 8 years. The Patriots have been good for the last 7 or 8 years, and there's a more consistent... vocal atmosphere at Fenway Park at appropriate times than there is at Gillette Stadium.
You're also closer to the field
at Fenway
where you're sitting, too.
Well, that's why I said it's a much more intimate
No, I know, but I just think if all 68,000 people stood up here and cheered at the same time like they do when it's a 3-2 count with two on in the bottom of the eighth and Okajima comes in, then I think you'd have noise. You know, it might not be the best. The acoustics might not be perfect, but I think you would notice it, and I think we notice it the other way, that it doesn't happen.
The loudest stadium I think I've ever been in that wasn't a dome was the old Mile High Stadium in Denver.
That was pretty loud.
The Rocky Mountain
Thunder. Well, they had those end zones that were right
on
top of you.
That's a good one, Eric. That's a good one.
And they had the metal that they could stomp on.
Oh, remember when they used to feel like they were coming right through the press box?
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't a big fan.
The thing that they do, too, that those fans do, even when the team isn't doing well, but it's a real home field advantage, I think. Just it's kind of an intimidating thing.
I think you're right.
Every time... the other team is on offense, and they throw an incomplete pass. The announcer says, you know, Castle's pass intended for Moss was
incomplete.
They all do it. All 76,000 people get up and do that.
Yep.
I mean, that's just a cool thing to
saying that we're not doing the same thing with the
another Patriot
first down.
No, they do it with the first down. Yeah, but they do it constantly. So if the other team's having a bad game, really bad game, it gets into their head. Yeah, because they know every time they throw an incomplete pass, they know, oh, yeah, now we're going to hear it from these 76,000 people.
Is that why Brady laid that stinker there in, what was it, 2001?
Could have been. Part of the reason.
That was the game where he realized.
They actually weren't incomplete. They were just to the Broncos.
Intercepted.
Intercepted. O'Reilly says, fans that booed had no right, even if they paid an arm and a leg for tickets.
Yes,
we all expected more
a
from
right.
a 16-0 team. team, but it's clear the Pats have been wounded tremendously. They all had a bad day at the office, and last year, this time, fans were pumping their fists, screaming, "Go Pats," and putting on Patriots apparel on everything in their homes. Now that times got rough, they want to bash the veterans. Yeah, the Pats had a plan entering the season, but week one changed all that, and now Bill is trying to find a few things to win ball games. We all have our opinions on what their record will be, but don't be disappointed if they underachieve. Besides, the Pats are trendsetters and will adjust, maybe not today, but for the future. Go Pats, says O'Reilly. So there you go.
I did like that other email that said, you know, he's been here longer and he'll be here longer than the players, and he pays to be here.
I like that.
Here.
I thought that was a good email.
That's right. He's 100% right.
Yeah.
I mean, the fans have a right to boo.
They have the right to boo. I don't like it, but they have the right. I wouldn't do it because I'm not that kind of a negative, mean person.
All those people sending in spreads.
Who
thank you.
Who suggested the funniest thing he's ever said?
We're all set now. We have the spreads. Paul has the Herald, so we're good. But I do think
two games off.
We already had five people send us the spreads.
Was St. Olmes one of them? Did he send a spread?
Do they have spreads for Philly, Chicago, and Baltimore, Pittsburgh? Because those games are off the board.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's see.
That's both Westbrook and McNabb.
Which one are you looking for? Strippers has one here.
Philly.
Philly?
-3.
Philly's -3.
Philly, yeah, I've got -3. Yep.
And what do you got, Baltimore, Pittsburgh?
-6.
Okay. Yep. Go with those.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Some more emails here. Brian writes in from...
Not Maury, is it?
No, he is from Baltimore. Yesterday you were talking about what Favre would have been like in New England's offense. It made me think about a funny clip in Green Bay when during a game Mike Holmgren tells Favre to stop throwing rocket balls. How do you think Belichick would handle the gunslinger mentality at quarterback?
Not good.
I'm thinking there's no way that Favre would fit into Patriots system under Belichick. Favre still has the arm and skills to play, and while most of the players and fans would have loved to have his style and risky decision-making, wouldn't fit in the long run with the Pats and Belichick.
Did you guys happen to hear what he said about that scenario, Favre, the other day?
Sunday night conversation?
Yeah.
ESPN?
Did you hear that? Did you guys talk about that yesterday?
A little bit.
Things are more structured here.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, it's why Bill didn't want Drew.
Right. So a guy who's just going to do what he wants to do is not going to work poor Paul.
Brian also says, hey,
I'm
two
right
gender.
Here.
Brian from Baltimore also says, hey, two gender. Sorry for calling you out with the blogs yesterday. I guess you don't really suck then because he apparently does. It's Gary who picks them out. My mistake.
So Gary sucks.
Don't say that.
Merry Christmas.
Another quick Favre off topic. People like us covering the NFL.
Yes.
Part of that Sunday conversation was
we're
also
start talking about other games. Now.
They said that in Green Bay they're spinning it. Some of the players that Aaron Rodgers throws every bit as hard as Brett Favre.
Yeah. So
no freaking way.
I don't believe that.
I'm with Brett Favre on that. He might not throw as hard now.
Yeah,
but Brett Favre when he was Brett Favre.
Oh, yeah.
Had an absolute cannon.
Yeah. He was like Clemens back.
Who was the receiver that said he had had broken every one of his fingers at least once from a
Frank Mendes.
No one will ever convince me that anybody could throw harder than John Elway.
Favre
is comparable.
Elway's receivers used to say the same thing, though, that they'd broken fingers?
Yeah.
And
I think Favre threw harder. I mean, Elway threw harder.
Yeah.
I'd probably agree with you.
They used to show those pictures of the cross in people's that he would leave in the four parts of the ball come together. Mm-hmm. I'd quit.
That's hard.
Iggy from Coach,
I'm going home.
Iggy from
Iggy,
we love you.
He says, Zapatoria.
He says, hey, guys, and Eric, we just came back to Spain from the U.S. and are a little bit sleepy, but I just wanted to thank you guys for your kindness last Tuesday. My wife and I had a really great time visiting you. The game experience was great, even though the Pats lost. The stadium is amazing, and we really enjoyed the show and our time in Foxborough. I am, of course, an unbiased observer, but let me tell you my wife's observations on you guys. So this is his wife's
This was on Tuesday Iggy came in?
Yeah.
These are loosely translated, though.
Gary is the heart and soul of the show.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
He takes care of everything, records promos, has everything under control. Very nice guy, too. Frank, I guess she means me, he is the boss. Took the time to say hi on the air to both at the beginning and at the end of the show to both of us, and she really liked that. She thinks you are the best host, but she points out that Paul had to remember that we do have cars here in Spain. Paul, he's not fat at all. Very professional.
At all.
He has more football
She's
knowledge,
blind,
and he does know we have cars back here. Lori Baranski. She is
that was well done, Fred.
She is hotter live than in photos, and she is smarter than hot. The first observation is mine. The second is Blanca's. Amigo con grande cabeza. Hope you did
that would
not,
be you, Andy.
That would be you.
Hope
I you, know.
Hope you did not get intoxicated with the paella. We both think you are the funniest of the crew and very friendly.
Hey, thanks.
They don't know you. Dan Tugender, very, very nice guy. Blanca thinks he does not look Tugender at all.
He's just gay.
Michael, they have no clue. He didn't talk at all. Eric, thank goodness he wasn't there.
Sorry.
That's
going to leave a mark.
How do you say that in Spanish?
P.S. Fred, we did go into the hall. It was amazing. We enjoyed it a lot. We kicked the football, ran, jumped. The movie at the theater was spectacular, although we did not cry. It is a must for all Patriots fans.
So I'm not in the Blanca fan club, I guess?
You didn't say anything.
What didn't I say?
Nothing. You said nothing.
So he said something. That's a double negative.
Why is Gary looking at me?
They said, what didn't I say? And you said, what didn't I say?
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, Ben from Maine. We got to get to the picks, right?
Well, we still have a little while.
Ben from Maine, first of all, sorry about the heavy cursing in the email yesterday. It was a mid-quarter.
Never apologize for that.
That was a mid-quarter rant, and I was pretty pissed. Secondly, I was hoping the jokey shots at Andy mixed with the concession that I know you guys can't exactly be yourselves on structured TV would be enough to convey that I just think it's too bad his personality doesn't come through more on TV. This is the guy that says you're a fraud. I could have just written.
Well, I agree, but I Fred, if I said the stuff I said here on TV,
no.
Not only would I never be on that whatever show again, I'd probably be arrested or fined or the FCC would come calling.
I could have just written that out the first time, but there isn't much fun in that. I know you can't go on and on about things like how Eric is probably the biggest fan of Italian sausage in the world or how Andy thinks Paul's ass has probably stretched out his pants since he put them on this morning because of all the pastrami. Just so this email isn't another totally negative or shot-based, the show you guys put on is hands down the best talk show I have ever listened to.
Wow.
And that sentiment has way less to do with the major topic being the Pats than you would think. Your interaction with each other is just like most of us when we get together with our buddies. That's what makes it so great. Paul, keep up the great work on EEI. It's pretty friggin' sad when you're the one getting paid by the Pats, but it's the jokers on the big show that are wearing the money hats. That's Ben from Maine. So there you go.
Word. Paul agrees. Word. Yeah.
By the way, Paul, did you check out pfwinprogress.com? There's an interesting poll going on right now.
I did. I did see that poll.
Did you vote for your waist size?
No.
But what, I was it guess his waist size?
Yeah. I did see the poll.
I don't know how to
what
vote,
are the choices?
Though.
Like,
what do you mean?
What do you mean you don't know how to vote?
It wouldn't let me vote. Do you have to like log in or something?
You have a login, don't you?
But you have to be logged in. Is that what it is?
No, you just click on it. It takes you to the forum.
Oh.
Idiot.
But I chuckled at some of the choices.
I did see the results.
It's a heavy... I mean, it's split. It's,
wouldn't you think it would be heavy?
And
but it's not, like, obvious. There's, like,
when I
some 40s, some 38s.
When I clicked on it, there was 30% that had it right. So I don't know what the breakdown is right now.
So people can count that high.
30% of people had it correct. Much to the dismay of the blockhead from Nova Scotia who put that poll up there
blockhead.
In the first
place. Charlie Brown?
I was going to say. Thanks, Todd.
Chuck, you blockhead.
What?
I wasn't listening.
There's a surprise.
Fred, what's your waist size?
36.
Above the stomach.
Well, I don't know. That's not my waist. Above my stomach.
Yes, it is.
My
you
waist
just can't
is
get
down
there.
My knees.
That's my chest, which is a 50.
Oh, God.
36.
Jake, he's got those numbers inverted. Chest. 24-inch
36.
Python.
36. That's my pants. All my pants are 36.
And they're busting at the seams. Remember you had to go buy a new belt?
Look at the pockets.
Because I didn't have one.
Even his pockets all ripped. Look at it.
Well, I actually ripped that on the... I ripped that on
you
the...
You ripped it buttoning your pants this morning.
No, I was
hopping up and down trying to get the
button closed.
I was
in the museum, and I caught it on the handle before they fixed the seats.
Yeah, why is the inseam all messed up then?
No, it's the pocket ripped. It's the pocket, you ass.
Oh, you gotta record that one. Always listening.
36.
That's as good as it's just a fun fact. It's the pocket, you ass.
Horse poop.
He has to go off a 3-meter platform to get in his pants in the morning.
Oh, boy. Look at this.
Wow.
If you're wearing 36s, Fred, you are jumping off the bed to get in those in the morning. I'm sorry. 36s. Please.
Do I have to take my pants off?
No. No, you don't.
You've been begging to do that the last couple of shows. I don't really know what's gotten into you, but it's made me very uncomfortable.
Gary just pointed out to me, Paul, he printed out the page from Estimate Paul's Waist Size on PFWinProgress.com. The floating ad at the bottom is how I lost 44 pounds fast. It's some ad to click on weight loss. Right now, 30%. Oh, it's a tie, Paul. Two 30%ers at 38 and 40.
Well, how many total votes there, Andy?
Okay. Total votes, 652.
600? Wow. Are you kidding me?
No, like that's going to be total clicks, you idiot.
There's like 10 votes.
But you've gotten votes ranging from 34 to 42.
Now, 34
is you.
Both of those are way, way off.
Clearly, you or Beth voted for 34.
And what was the other one, 42?
Or Fred, maybe.
42 is way off.
Has issues with pant sizes.
42 is way off, and 34 is way off.
So it's 38.
Yeah.
That might be in the periphery. Yeah.
That's not
periphery.
That's not huge.
That's not that bad.
Before we get into the picks, John in Pompeii calls in. John, how you doing?
No, Fred wears 36.
Hey, I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
What's up, John?
Not too good.
What's the matter?
It's been torture because we lost the Dolphins, and I'm down here in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
That is correct.
The celebration hasn't stopped. I'm
sorry about that.
When's the ticker tape parade?
All right, Fred.
Worse than the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Really? Worse?
Yeah. Wow, worse than the Super Bowl.
Well, he's in the enemy territory, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still.
I just want to if the Patriots do kind of go into tank and want to put a top 10 pick, what position will you think they go after again this year?
Best player available.
I have to agree with Fred.
Because if they end up in the top 10, it won't just be the quarterback. There'll be some other needs, like last week, that may have been.
Hooray, Malioluga.
You don't think they need help in the secondary before they can start going to best player available?
I think it depends on who's. No. I mean, if the best guy's a linebacker, I'll take him. If the best guy's secondary, I'll take him.
I would just say targeting defense first.
I would say.
Well, I mentioned linebacker and secondary.
The best non-quarterback, I think, is what they would take.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe the best offensive lineman, left tackle.
Well, I'll take that, too.
I wouldn't eliminate a left tackle.
I'll take that, too.
I would not eliminate that. Absolutely, John.
What about tight end, though?
Well, I don't think you'd take a
tight end. If I'm Bill Belichick, I wouldn't touch a tight end ever again. Ever.
Especially in the first
ever. Ever.
We're just going to go with the no tight end offense here on in.
His track record is not good.
Yeah, what wide receiver was to the Lions, kind of tight end is to us. Yeah.
I just wouldn't take a tight end in the top 10 anyway.
Yeah. No, it's a waste.
I mean, Vernon Davis was a top 10 pick. How many other tight ends go that high?
Not many.
It's not really a position that you can really, you know, project from college that well. You know,
and it's the
Plus, you can get a basketball power forward and turn him into a decent one.
Kevin Winslow was a top 10 pick, too, right?
Right. And when he's healthy, he's good.
When he's not insane, he's good.
One last comment is about the website, PFW in Progress. Some days it's kind of way behind. When I checked it Tuesday, it was still from before.
Is that right? James from England. James is coming in.
Wales, Fred.
When's James coming in?
He does have a job.
Different James is coming in.
Good job. Good
Wales job, and England are two different.
All right. Thanks, John. We'll pass that along to James. Even though he
it's not his real job.
It comes in spurts. Like you can tell when he had a day because everything's updated.
He's an ass.
Eric.
What did you do?
He goes like this. Wales and England are a different place. And then he winks.
He's so pompous. You really are. You can't even help it. It just comes so natural to you.
All right.
What the hell are you doing?
Let's jump in.
Rigor Mortis Gilmore.
Let's jump into the picks. All right.
Kind of like you getting your pants in the morning?
Paul, why don't you tell us what happened last week?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on here.
Fred won the week again, right?
Fred, you just continue to set the pace. It's unbelievable. 12-4 for Fred last week. I also went 12-4, which obviously means it was an easy week based on the rest of my season. Eric and Andy were 10-6, and Mike was 9-7.
Mediocre.
With the spread.
I really have been
Fred
mediocre.
Matches his 12-4 with the spread.
Oh, wow.
If he had any stones, he would be putting money on these.
Good thing he didn't, though, because then he might have retired, and then we'd all be out of a job.
You're doing better than some so-called professionals in Vegas, Fred.
I went 11-5.
As he always has.
That's true.
Can't I finish?
No.
I went 11-5 with the spread, and Eric went 10-6. Andy, 7-9. Ooh. Mike, 6-10.
Wow.
So here's the season standings right here, real quick, Fred. Fred continues to set the pace by a wide margin. 36-11 overall, 32-14-1 with the spread.
That's good stuff.
That's
Fred.
Amazing.
That's good stuff. Big money.
You should quit now.
Andy is in second with the overall 32-15, but he's just 24-22-1 with the spread. Eric is 30-17, 26-20-1 with the spread. And Mike and I are tied in the basement at 27-20. However, I have a much better record with the spread, 27-19-1, whereas Mike is 21-25-1.
Wow.
So I actually have the second best record with the number, 27-19-1.
And Mike is the only one embarrassing himself.
I have been actually everybody else very is over 500 so far.
You might want to turn that around a little bit.
So that's,
I want to try learning something about the NFL.
That's last. Should. That's last week. Andy,
ACL
you're going to lead us off for this week?
Yes, indeed. Ready. I'll take the Jets.
Denver is at Kansas City to face the hapless Chiefs, who are going to start Damon Hewitt at quarterback this week.
For the second time.
Giving them the fourth different starting – not the fourth different, fourth
they've
week
yet to have
row.
A they've repeat starter.
They've yet to have a back-to-back starter. Chiefs getting 9 at Arrowhead.
Oh, I'll take the Denver Broncos to win and cover. I don't care where it is. The Chiefs are a terrible, terrible young football team.
Yeah, this might be the week Denver actually holds somebody to fewer than 30 points. So I will take Denver to win and cover.
Yep, I agree. Division match. Denver's playing well. I'll take them both ways.
I'm reluctant to give that many points to a bad defense like Denver, but I guess the Chiefs' offense is
right. Can
is
they
tough.
Take advantage of
it's
that?
It's tough. Yeah. Denver usually has a hard time at Arrowhead, too, but this isn't the regular Chiefs,
true.
So I'm going to take Denver.
The touchdown. Yeah.
You
got to
take Denver both ways in this game.
Got to, especially when you're a Broncos fan like Fred.
He's off the Broncos now.
No.
Haven't you heard?
Matt Weiss is a
Broncos. Maybe you haven't heard.
Matt Weiss from Qdoba.
He doesn't root for Broncos no more.
Battle of 0-3s coming up next, Andy. Cleveland, the disappointing Browns, go to Cincinnati, where the Bengals are favored by 3.5.
Interesting. I will go the Cincinnati Bengals to win at home and cover. The Cleveland Browns will start 0-4. Sooner or later, they need to make the change at quarterback. Paul Perillo has labeled Derek Anderson a one-year wonder, and I agree.
And he was. And I think Cincinnati played pretty well last week at Giant Stadium, so I think maybe they have something going here a little bit, maybe a little momentum, so I'll take Cincinnati both ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that Cincinnati performance last week in the Meadowlands was a fluke. I'm going to take the Browns to get off the schneid and win their first game.
You were saying, like you were agreeing with me, then you just went totally opposite.
Exactly.
That's very good.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Browns, too. I think they're just a better football team, even though they haven't shown it yet. I do think, as Andy said, that Derek Anderson is well on his way to proving that he's a one-year wonder. I think Brady Quinn will be starting games before the month of October is through.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Browns as well in this game to get the outright win.
Good call, Fred.
Good call.
Wrong.
Houston at Jacksonville. Jags coming off a... Big win. Season saver, perhaps. They were seconds away from going 0-3. They win on the last second field goal. They go back home, favored by 7.5.
Sorry, I had to yawn. The Jaguars will win at home. I think they're the better football team, although I don't think they are as good as everybody expected. What was the number?
7.5.
I'll take the points. I think it's going to be a tight game. I don't think the Jags blow anybody out for the much of this season. So I'll take the points.
I'm with Andy. Again, I have a throat problem here. Sorry. I'm with Andy again. Jacksonville's a better team, but not that much better than Houston. They are very fortunate to be 1-2, so we'll take Jacksonville to win outright, and we'll take the points with the Houston, whatever they are, Texans.
I want everybody to take a nap before the next show so no one's yawning on the air.
I think that must have some tryptophan in it, that Qdoba stuff.
That Qdoba stuff?
MSG?
Could be.
Well, fella, I'm going to take Jacksonville both ways. I think, as I predicted earlier, I think that Houston team that I said was going to win there or at least make the playoffs, I think I'm going to have to rescind
Eric
that prediction.
Eric Scalabrine wrong again.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm going to go with Jacksonville to win by 10.
Yeah, Matt Schaub's certainly looking like one of those backup quarterbacks that's better than all the other starters. Not so much. It's kind of looking like he's just another one of those mediocre kind of journeyman types that – I'll have a couple of good weeks here.
Scott Mitchell type.
That had the good fortune of playing the Patriots.
He made a lot of money off that one game, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Throwing for tree
I
bills.
Like Jacksonville both ways
tree?
Here.
I'm looking at the schedule for the Texans. Last week they played Tennessee. This week they're playing Jacksonville. Next week they play Indy. So it's a tough stretch for the Texans. I think they're going to.
Happens when you play in that division.
I think they're going to play it tough. I think they're going to cover, but I think Jacksonville will win.
Indy should be 0-3 right now. You realize that?
I agree.
You can look at it the other way, too.
They could easily be 2-1.
Right.
Yeah, but, Fred, I'm talking to you. That's what I'm saying. They should be 0-3.
I don't know. I still think they've got it.
Really?
Bob Sanders is out. That makes a big difference.
He'll be back for the Patriots game.
Arizona stayed on the East Coast, much like we will be doing next week.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to play the Jets at the Meadowlands.
They
where
get
the
a little
Jets,
criticism for that.
Paul, we always stay on the East Coast. We live here.
I said much like we will be doing next week on the West Coast.
It will be on the East Coast next week.
You yawned in the middle. But anyway,
so cranky. You
the
can't
Jets,
joke with Paul.
The Jets.
Who are they playing?
Arizona. At home, favored by a point and a half.
The Jets are favored? I'll take the Arizona Cardinals. Good call. Stay home. I mean, stay on the road. Limit the travel and take away that advantage maybe for the New York Jets. Business trip. I bet you that's what Ken Wisenhunt's treating it like and kind of beating that into his players. And I think they're the better football team.
This is a tough one. I like Arizona very high in the Cardinals, but the Jets have to get something going at some point. I'm just playing the law of averages here, which has obviously worked well for me, as indicated by my record, but I'm going to take the Jets both ways anyway.
I like the way that Arizona has played, even in their losses. They've put up a good fight. I don't like the way the Jets have played. I'm going to take Arizona in the upset here.
I agree with Andy.
Another one of those big upsets on a 1 point.
He's taking the better team. I agree with Andy that the better team is the Cardinals, but I'm going to go with the Jets. And really no profound reason other than Mike's. I just think that at home, they got to find a way to win a game here early in the season. And I also think, and this is why I picked the Redskins last week, I don't think the Cardinals are ready to win games when they have to travel that they're quote-unquote supposed to win. You know, they outplayed the Redskins for a good portion of that game last week after a slow start. Still found a way to lose at the end. I think they'll find a way to lose in the Meadowlands, too.
Where do you think they stayed, New York or Washington?
I'd say they're staying in Maryland, I think.
Did they stay in Maryland?
Yeah. I could go either way in this game. This is a tough one. And so I guess I go with the Cardinals just because I love to see the Jets lose. But
we knew it was getting there anyway.
This is a tough one. I mean, last year or any year, I would have picked the Jets hands down. But, you know, a lot has to depend. Favre has a little bit of a hurt ankle, you know, so.
I'm sure he'll pop a couple pills.
Yeah, I mean, not that he's that mobile.
Quarterback wants the Vike. You got to get him the Vike.
Not that he's that mobile now anyway. But I just think that, you know, it's sort of like teams got the taste of blood when it comes to Favre now. And I think they're going to unleash the dogs. And I think it's going to be a long day for Mr. Favre. And I think after this game, if they lose and they lose badly, we might start hearing, maybe I don't want to play anymore after all.
Good.
I don't think there's any chance that he doesn't finish the season,
right,
by the way.
Well,
I know that's a big thing that's going around the league.
Who
I think,
started that?
I don't know. A lot of people
people said before the season started he wouldn't finish this.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any chance of that, to be honest with you.
I said it in a
Now, I joke. I also didn't think he was going to come back, so take that for what it's worth. San Francisco, Andy, at New Orleans. Saints at home, giving 5.5.
Ooh, giving. Interesting. I will take the Saints, too. I think these two teams are similar. I don't think they're elite. I think they have some talent. I think they have some playmakers at running back, both teams. I'd like to pick San Francisco here, but I'm not quite ready to go there. So I'll take the Saints to win, and I'll take the points.
Saints are given
5.5.
5.5. Ooh, okay. I'll take San Francisco both ways. I have no analysis whatsoever. They're just a better team.
Well, I had New Orleans going in the NFC Championship game this year, but they're not playing as consistently as I'd like to see them. So I'm going to take them to win, Paul, but I'll take San Fran with the number.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing. I think that the Niners keep it close, maybe lose by a field goal late. Home field, I think, is big in this one. I think the Saints play better, much better in the dome. I don't know yet. I don't know enough about either one of these teams. Going to be really interested. Hopefully we can somehow watch a little of this. I doubt it's one of our local games, but you know, as we're getting ready to go out to San Francisco, I'd like to catch a peek at the Niners and JT O'Sullivan. I don't know much about them.
Yeah. I'm hoping San Francisco wins, and I'm going to pick them outright.
It's not on TV.
You know, I'm hoping that San Francisco goes 3-1 so that next week, maybe a little overconfident, they look at what the Patriots did last week, say, we got another one. We're going to go 4-1, go in there with a little bit too much confidence, and the Patriots kind of fool them. So that's my hope.
Sneaking up on people.
So I'm picking the 49ers. 49ers is part of my overall strategy for the Patriots to get this win next week.
one of the best early season stories, Andy, Atlanta.
JTO.
2-1 in the early going. They're going to travel to Carolina to play the Panthers, and the Panthers are favored by 7 points. Yeah.
JT cut his hair yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's why he's having success.
That's why he's good, right?
Obviously.
The reverse Samson and what do you call it?
Goliath? I don't know.
The Bible?
Delilah.
Delilah?
I knew it sounded like that. Samson and Delilah.
Thank you.
Okay.
How come when I said it, you know, I had to get the Fred Kirsch stamp of approval? Stamp of approval.
Eric, you know the Bible stories, right?
I wasn't paying attention there. I think that Moss story is going to turn into one of those Bible stories.
Dead Sea
Scrolls.
The length that you're writing.
Yeah, you got 4 pages, Fred. You got to fill it.
Is it 4 full pages or 4 with ads on it?
Probably have an ad or two somewhere.
Yeah, it's actually 4 pages spread over 5, so there are a couple pages.
Did you get to talk to Moss?
No.
Oh,
I can't speak that language, buddy, but just tell him we said what's up.
I will take the Carolina Panthers. I just can't take the Matt Ryan's on the road. But I will take – how many points? 7.5?
7.
Ooh. I'll take the points. I don't think
Atlanta's
the Panthers
favored.
I don't think
Panthers.
The
Panthers are favored by 7. Oh,
Panthers are a consistent enough
easy money.
Uh-oh, somebody's getting cocky. Yeah.
For who?
If you pick Atlanta with the points.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with Andy and Fred on that one. That's too many points for Carolina. Nice team and a nice comeback for Delhomme, but not that good. But I will take Carolina outright.
I will take the Atlanta Ryans both ways. I just don't think Carolina's that great a team, and you know, Atlanta's played a lot better than I expected them to with the rookie QB. So I'll give them the win outright.
Yeah, I'm going to take Carolina. I don't think either team is very good, but I think Carolina's a lot better than Atlanta. So I'll
split it down the middle. I think that part of that points thing is, you know, Matt Ryan on the road, young quarterback. You know, but I think Atlanta has a chance to win this. I'm not that confident I'll give them the outright win, but I'll definitely take Atlanta with the points.
Minnesota, Andy, at Tennessee, where the Titans are giving 3 points at home.
The battle of the backups, right? Gus Frerotte versus Kerry Collins.
More like a battle of the defense.
Journeyman.
I will take the
physical,
defense that I think
defenses.
Is better. And you know what that means, Paul? I go against Jared Allen. I will take the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, by the way, another big game for him last week.
Did he? That's unfortunate.
You know, I'm not as down on Jared Allen as you guys are.
Overrated.
But I just don't like Gus Frerotte in this spot at all against this defense, so Tennessee both ways.
I don't like Gus Frerotte in any spot, to tell you the truth. He's awful.
On his knees?
I'm going to... Oh, hey.
Sorry. Gary's not even in the booth to clean it up.
Good. Don't mark that tape. I'm going to take Tennessee and Kerry Collins both ways.
Yeah, I like Tennessee, and that Titans defense was the best defense I saw in football last year, and obviously they're showing this year it was no fluke. I like the Titans. Yeah.
What's the number?
3.
I'm sorry. Did they lead the league in sacks last year?
Score of this game could be 3-0 when it's all said and done. Yeah, I'll take Tennessee. That's both ways.
Okay.
All right. The Bay of Pigs, Andy. Green Bay at Tampa Bay.
As old Pete Axelm used to say.
Favored by 1.
I'll take the Green Bay Packers to win outright on the road. Better football team. Better defense, better all around. Although I do want to say one of the great tragedies of all time this week. Did you see that? Wow. Tampa Bay kicker Matt Bryant, his infant son passed away.
No, I didn't see that.
Yep. In his sleep.
One of the worst, in his sleep, which I mean, if you're ever going to say is good, I guess it's good.
Was it a SIDS thing?
They don't know yet.
Yeah. But just absolute tragedy.
Wow. Well, I agree with Andy.
Ruined my whole day.
Yeah, really. Thanks. Green Bay is clearly the better football team. 1 point I don't think is even enough there.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that it's even at that level, so I'm going to take Green Bay both ways.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. Green Bay is
for the first time.
Is the better team. Green Bay is definitely the better team. And on the road, at home, it doesn't matter. I'll take them both ways.
Agreed all around.
I'm going to go with the Buccaneers in this game. I think
we're screwed.
I think the Buccaneers are a little bit underrated.
I used to make fun of them in these spots, but no more.
Now we can't, no.
I think they're a little underrated. I think Aaron Rodgers came down to earth a little bit last game. You know, the Green Bay kind of got their little comeuppance.
You know who sucked? Ryan Grant.
Oh, yeah, running back.
One-hit wonders.
Yes.
Ooh.
They had good numbers in the first game.
He stinks.
So I'm going to go with the Bucs in this game.
Okay. The AFC East leading Buffalo Bills travel to St. Louis, where they are road favorites by 8 points.
Wow. Does that not say how bad things have gotten in St. Louis? Right. Or maybe it was when they benched their $50 million quarterback whatever it is. I will take the Buffalo Bills to win.
Yeah, this is
and cover.
Roscoe Parrish is out.
I don't
care.
4 to 6 weeks. Win and cover. That's they get it done.
That's a big, big injury.
Trent Green will get knocked out. By the way, I thought he was retired. Yeah.
That's a lot of points, and obviously St. Louis is terrible, so Buffalo's going to go to 4-0. But I think my thoughts on the Bills. They're going to come down a little bit here, so I'm going to say it's a little bit of a closer game, so I'll take St. Louis with the points.
They'll come down eventually, but if they're playing a team that has Trent Green starting at quarterback,
the battle
is not this week that they're going to come down.
Trent versus Trent. Trent's
he could come out, he could get hot,
Or he could get hit and forget the rest of his life.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly fear for the guy's safety at this point.
No question. Uncomfortable.
I felt
for
who's safety.
Who's playing safety?
Oh, Fred. Trying to make a serious point about the guy's health.
And Fred had to make a bad joke.
Yeah.
You don't have to cry about it, Eric. Just get on with it.
Horse poop.
What, you weren't paying attention there, Hi-Ho?
All
I said Buffalo both ways.
Yeah, I like the Bills to steamroll this team.
Pink.
Hey, I don't take the Rams until they show signs of life.
So this guy, Paul Posnewski, who got hurt last year, who's really, they're saying he's the real deal.
Yeah.
We were kind of making fun of him during the draft.
I don't like him.
You didn't like him?
Nope.
But he's
still don't.
He's playing well.
His other boy went on IR this week, I saw, Dan Connor. Maybe he's taking the Posnewski route to start him at linebacker.
I'm not, by the way, sold on the Buffalo Bills.
You're not?
No.
Well, they're going to be 4-0.
I think they'll be 4-0.
They're going to have a game and a half lead on the Patriots in the AFC.
I'm not sold on
when they have to do all of that just to squeak out a win at home against Oakland on homecoming day.
I'm taking them both ways.
Homecoming.
All right, next.
All right. What do we got here, Andy? Speaking of homecoming, San Diego and those Oakland Raiders, everybody's favorite homecoming opponent, even though this one's in Oakland. Chargers by 7.5.
I'll take the Chargers to win and cover. The Oakland Raiders stink. Still a debacle. Don't care.
Charges both ways. Coming off a pretty big, impressive performance against the Jets last week. They dropped 49 on New York. Mm-hmm. That new look
48.
Run defense.
Don't exaggerate.
48. Oh, sorry.
No, 48.
No. Either way, charges both ways.
Yeah, that Raiders performance in Buffalo, I think, was an aberration, not a trend. So I'm going to say the way San Diego's been playing, even though they've lost a couple of those close games in the beginning, they're going to easily handle Oakland, so I'll take San Diego both.
Yeah, I like the Chargers. I think they got the offense in gear, and the defense was a little better for most of that game. It fell apart late in the game on them, but I think the game was over by that time. Oakland, I give them credit. They're playing hard for Lane Kiffin, even though that's a sinking ship.
Did he not get fired yet?
Not yet. They don't want to fire him. They want him to quit.
They want him to quit, and he's not going to quit.
No, but like last Monday, the word was by Monday he's going to be fired. This Monday it was by Monday morning he's going to be fired.
Right.
This is getting as sickening as the
Brett Favre stuff during the offseason.
Seriously. Yeah, exactly.
It really
the
is.
First week
the
commissioner needs to say something about this.
Wait till he gets fired. I don't want to hear it anymore. But the first week they said if they lose, he's going to get fired, and they won. Now the second week, they said that it could happen as early as Monday, and it didn't happen.
And this week was as early as Monday.
Yeah, exactly. Again, no, that's the second week, this week.
The commissioner needs to step in and do something here, make some sort of
Well, the fans need to revolt. They need to start saying either get this team going again or we're going to stop coming to the games.
Usurp the front office. They're going to storm the headquarters.
Because I choose not to run.
Well, you think it's good fans if they just keep going.
Well, it gets
thick and thin, right?
It's a mulligan.
When a team is making every effort, of course, but this is a situation where it's just out of control.
Well, how would you feel if you're a player, though, knowing that your owner is playing games with the coach?
I would feel terrible, and a lot of fans have come out and supported Lane Kiffin. I mean, not fans, players.
I think Al Davis died like 5 years ago. It's like Weekend at Bernie's. They have him on a string, and they prop him up.
That other guy's running the show, Herrera?
Herrera.
Very skeletal.
I like the Chargers.
So do I. I think they blow them out, and I think after this game, then the Raiders have no choice but to send Lane Kiffin.
But what'll change? I mean, they're still going to have to pay him.
They just can't go on this way.
But you're looking at it from a sane perspective,
hard.
Not an 85-year-old whack job, right?
It's gone way longer than I ever expected it.
Well, they figured
this 2 weeks
long. Is he 80, in mid-80s?
There are some writers talking about how Lane Kiffin, despite not being treated fairly, is not doing a good job coaching.
His on-the-field coaching hasn't been great at times.
Yeah.
If
What'd you
look
expect?
At his clock management,
he had never done anything.
Well, he's 12
his
years
game,
old.
His
I
game
know.
Management last week was terrible.
It was terrible.
But he obviously is doing a good job getting his team prepared to play because they don't have a ton of talent.
and they're playing hard for them, and they're in games. They got blown out the first week, and they had two other games that they were very competitive in. So he's doing something.
But they must think he's
completely impossible situation.
Or they're just getting lucky.
Next.
Washington at Dallas.
The Fredskins get killed by Dallas by how many?
11.
Then by more than 11, I will take the Dallas Cowboys to blow out the Fredskins in the, speaking of overmatched coaches, Jim Zorn.
Hey, you know what? I think Dallas wins this game outright, but I think their defense is a little bit overrated. And you know what? Jason Campbell's playing pretty well the last couple of weeks, so I give the Fredskins some credit. I'll take the Skins with the points.
I think you're right that the defense of Dallas might be a little overrated, but
overrated.
I don't think their offense is.
No,
and,
it's not.
I think they're going to put up way more points than Washington, so I'll take Dallas in the blowout.
I'm going to agree with Mike. I'm going to say that Dallas defense is not good enough to be given 11 points, and I'll take the Fredskins with the points, but I'll take Dallas to win outright.
I will agree with Mike and Paul. I'll take Dallas to win, Washington to cover.
Quick
side
note.
What are you
note?
Doing in your chair over there, Mike?
Interesting to
note
that.
Rocking back and forth.
Oh, we'll try something else.
Do you have to go to the? Do you have to go potty?
No, actually, those tacos are running through me pretty quickly.
Al
Davis was born July 4th, 1929, and raised in Brockton, Massachusetts.
Brockton.
I knew he was from Brockton.
Did not know that.
4th of July. Born on the 4th of July.
He's an old bastard. So is George Steinbrenner.
So he's 79?
Great ownership.
Steinbrenner born
on the
4th
day.
Of July?
That's right.
Not 1929, though.
No.
Whack job owners who run franchises into the
Two
ground.
Two senile owners run franchises into the ground? Okay.
Yeah. Living on history.
Yeah, okay. A lot of titles between those
sounds
two
familiar.
Guys.
So you're happy with Steinbrenner?
The boss? The old man?
Yeah.
I love George.
If I were a Yankee fan?
I love it. I love when he sends out his little press releases and rips guys. It's great.
Well, this
screw
stuff
them.
Is just ridiculous. That
well, the son's a little bit of a whack job, I know. The kid's a little bit off the rocker, but
we
I like
have a better record than one of the playoff teams.
Well, he's right. I only say that because Capella's annoying.
God almighty.
Other than that.
How many years in a row did the Red Sox have the second-best record in baseball behind the Yankees and not go to the playoffs in the 70s? Happened every year.
Yeah, life sucks.
Please. Get your little crying towel away.
That came
put
so
your
close
crying
to Paul's
towel
head.
Away. Yeah, yeah, so did Andy's, by the way.
Yeah, I almost did. I might have made
you,
contact.
You
almost
just
knocked
missed.
Him unconscious.
You just missed.
Recycling bottle in this studio could get someone hurt.
All right, couple of more games here before we call it a day. The Eagles travel to Chicago.
Fred,
Eagles.
I need an injury report on this game.
Okay.
The Eagles by 3. Westbrook is questionable.
And McNabb is okay.
McNabb is fine.
According to NFL.com, Westbrook isn't even listed. McNabb did not practice with a chest.
He's playing.
Yeah. He's got a chest.
He's fine. I'm telling you.
I got total opposite information from the two sources.
They don't have Westbrook listed.
So both guys are going to play. That's what you're telling me.
Let's assume they will.
The
game
did not practice.
According to Las Vegas, the game is officially off the board because of the Philadelphia running back, not quarterback. It says it right here in bold type.
But he's not even listed.
So the Eagles are playing tricks. They're playing games.
I like the way they think. I'll just take them to win. I'll assume they're both going to play, or at least one of them, and one of them should be enough, assuming it's Donovan McNabb, to get the job done, because I'm not sold on that Kolb character. But the Bears' defense, I don't know that it has the consistency to carry the team throughout the year against above-average opponents like the Eagles.
Yeah, not quite as good as we saw in Week 1 against the Colts.
No.
We all had big, grand dreams after that, and it's kind of come downhill a bit. So I'm going to take the Eagles both ways.
Yep, I agree. Eagles both ways.
Eagles.
I'm going to take the Eagles, but I think Chicago actually has a chance. They should be 3-0. They really blew the game in Carolina. They blew a big lead, and they sat on the lead against Tampa Bay and allowed themselves to get into overtime, allowing the quarterback to have to throw the ball 67 times. You have to win that game. When you make the other team throw the ball that many times, you have to win that game.
The defensive issue.
They blew two games late in the game, and I think they blew them both because they got conservative on offense. And but unless they find a way to change that, they're going to continue to lose games late. But I'll take the Eagles just because I think they're a far superior team.
What's the number?
3.
3. Yeah, I'll take the Eagles.
All right, last game, Andy. Rashard Mendenhall is ridiculous. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Steelers by 5.5.
Steelers. Roethlisberger is playing, right?
He is questionable. That's why that game is off the board.
I'll assume he'll play. What are you getting mad for over there?
No, NFL.com doesn't even list him.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm not talking about like on paper what they're, you know, on their injury reports. I don't know what those say.
Right.
I'm just telling you.
Okay.
According to Las Vegas, the game's off the board because of that.
Roethlisberger will play. Rashard Mendenhall will have a coming out party. All those people that are telling you to sit him in fantasy are ridiculous, just like he is ridiculous when he has the ball in his hands. He will not fumble more than once, and he will score more than twice. 100 yards, rolling to victory for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Defense also has a score.
Yeah, he'll have a coming out party, a coming out of the closet party. So I will take Baltimore both ways because sure that Pittsburgh, even with Roethlisberger, I wasn't impressed last week.
If you don't think Pittsburgh's better than Baltimore with Roethlisberger playing,
doesn't matter
if they're not up by three touchdowns.
Roethlisberger's going to get killed. He will. Baltimore both ways.
Sleep at the wheel over there.
What's the number, Mike?
That's why you're 24-47 overall.
Half.
This is to me an ugly game all around.
An upset special.
I'm going to take
a fun fact.
I'm going to take the Steelers to win.
Fun fact.
But I'll take Baltimore with that number. I think it'll be a close, ugly game.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh is 1,000 times better than Baltimore. And if Roethlisberger plays, this is not even a game. But if not, I'll still take the I'll still lay the points. Pittsburgh is much, much better than Baltimore.
Troubling times when I lean on Paul as the sense of reason in this.
The one thing I'll say, it does say on this thing, Philadelphia running back and Pittsburgh quarterback. There's always a possibility that whoever put this in here mixed it up, and it's supposed to say Philadelphia quarterback and Pittsburgh running back.
It is the Herald.
And I don't do the Agate pages for them anymore, right, Fred, so you never know. Could be wrong.
Agate. No, I was thinking of taking Pittsburgh to win but giving Baltimore the points. I'm going to take Baltimore both ways in this game.
Joe Flacco. Why
do you take this personal because someone picks against your team?
Because he slurps the Steelers.
Whether or not.
I think you should ban him to Steelers football weekly.
Look, I'll just beat him in the picks contest and that'll be it.
You should go to Broncos.
But
I
think whether or not Roethlisberger plays, I don't think he's going
to
be that effective.
I'll stay here because I'm only
true Pat
fan.
That's what normally comes from that chair. Well done.
Mendenhall will have
cater to the fans. Say what you think.
Mendenhall will
have
43 yards on 20 carries, and Baltimore's going to win. It's going to be the opposite of the game that was on Monday Night Football last week. It'll be a very low scoring, tough defensive game. So
that's probably accurate. So 21-3 Steelers.
That's why Baltimore
21-3 Steelers. You heard it here first. Joe Flacco, crapo.
Wacko Jacko.
I was going to say, what
Wacko Flacco? At the old New York Post headlines? Wacko Jacko.
Fred, you got an email. We're not done yet.
Todd in Nova Scotia says, first, I would like to thank Fred for getting PFTV up on the web. It only took you 3 years, but better late than never. I watched it today. Everything was going great until there was a close-up of Paul.
My screen
went completely white. I tried to adjust the contrast, but I couldn't get it back to normal. Wow. It's like staring at a nuclear explosion at one of those sci-fi movies where the people start glowing and ascend to a higher state of being. Fred, you're working him too hard. Old man hasn't seen the sun in years. Seriously, I thought the show was a good mix of Patriot, All Access, and PFW in Progress. Thank the computer monkey for getting the show up.
Guys are here, obviously, Fred Kurtz.
I'll tell you one thing, Todd. Fred's not working Paul that hard.
And Angie is mad. He says
he has one story to write per issue.
And he has 3 weeks to work on it.
He's the oppressed masses with one story to write per issue.
My one story is worth like five of everyone else's.
That's just horse poop.
Not if we're going on quality.
This week, I'm
a little concerned.
That's right. It's about 10.
What is the word count in this story? I'm a little worried now.
It's 4 pages.
I don't want a Dead Sea Scrolls. How many words are you writing?
I don't know if you know. I have a short.
1 million.
2,000. 2,500.
More than that.
Oh,
Moses.
Fred's a good email, I think.
How much propaganda is in this story?
We can chop if you need it.
How many one-sentence paragraphs you got in there?
Yeah, jeez.
It's like Bill Wells.
1 million.
One line per paragraph.
Give me a tease. What's the lead?
I'm not going to give you the lead.
Can't give him the lead. That's
Why?
The whole
on the lead?
Day
That's
Randy Moss came, it rained.
No.
For 7 days and 7 nights.
Got to tell you, though, I've been hooked 21 days.
It was the
never
best
won
of wide receivers. It was the worst of wide receivers. Actually, that would work in this story. Tale of Two Cities. You can always fall back on that.
In the beginning, Bill Belichick.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of
the
PFW
Progress. And the Dolphins won.
No game this weekend, but we'll all be glued to our TVs watching the opponents.
Thank you, Qdoba.
Right. Thanks for Qdoba.
And outstanding.
That was an unbelievable feast.
And congratulations to Josh and Arlington for being the first winner of the
He gets a taco fiesta at his house.
At the men's club.
John Rook just walked in for Patriots Playbook, which, of course, you'll be able to hear the entire Troy Brown press conference during. And then at 4 o'clock, B-Low will have all his lowdown for the fantasy season weekend coming up. So, all right, we'll see you next Tuesday.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower for my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.